Blog Talk Radio.
Big Daddy Listen was a man to fear. You have Steve Van Buren and Otto Graham. Johnny United had the arm of a Superman. We had Charlie Trippi and Gino Marquette. If you're searching for a champion, they're your best bet. With Oscar quarterback like Donnie Lou Jack or even Sid Luckman, as a matter of fact. Do you remember Red Brains, the Galloping Ghost? He could do a 95 running coast to coast. You had Norm Van Brocklin, a real great player, so swift with his moves that he could be mayor. Y.A. Tittle, Allie Madison, hey, I remember all those guys from back in the day.
It's the sport of king, better than diamond rings. That's why we're here to sing football. Sunday in the snow, referees whistle blows. Weekend warriors toe to toe. Football, 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 football.
Yo, 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 how's everybody going? It's your boy Kelly Mike. We're coming at you with a hot new episode of CMT Firestorm, where we bring you the best and brightest in the world of sports. We're going to bring you some raw, uncut, unedited, and completely biased opinions. Right now, I believe I got my boy, the Tennessee Volunteer, Tony Wadley, with us. Tony, what's going on, man?
What's up, people? What's up, Mike? How you feeling?
I'm doing okay, man. It is almost 100 degrees out here today. So,
oh, my goodness.
Yeah, we're getting ridiculous already, and it's May, man. I can't believe it. I got the AC up. I got the fan on. I got a couple of bottles of water, and I'm ready to rock, man. How's things going out there?
Well, Florida is Florida. You know, the greatest state in the country. It's all good.
Yeah, besides, all that racism and poverty, but yeah, you know, greatest state.
I wouldn't know what you were talking about because, you know, the Florida that I know is just sunny beaches and beautiful women. Yeah. And great colleges. Did I mention that? Great colleges? I mean, national championship winning colleges.
That's movie Florida, then, in other words. That's not real Florida. There's movie Florida, which is like Miami and Orlando, well, parts of Orlando. And then you have like real Florida, which is like Polk County and Belgrade. That's what you get. Y'all always hide those parts of Florida from everybody. Y'all don't ever tell anybody about Belgrade, Florida, or Polk County.
And then we have those superstar parts of Florida called the Miami Hurricanes, the Florida Gators, and the FSU Seminoles. Yeah. We got those parts of Florida too. You know, this football show we talking about.
Well,
we got those super parts of Florida.
I believe that the concept of black men running fast and working hard in the South was established a couple hundred years ago.
All right.
I want to go ahead and get into the show right now. I got an interesting topic I want to bring up. We talked about it before. I'm actually glad I have you on right here because I think you had a different point of view. Well, I had a different point of view, and my point of view has actually changed. There's been a Facebook meme going on around. You know, anybody knows a meme is like one of those pictures that has the saying up next to it. And this one was comparing the NFL draft to a slave auction. And I don't know, have you seen that meme going around on Facebook?
I have not seen it, but I am listening closely.
If I can find it, I'll try to post it up on the CMT page. Basically, it shows, like, the pictures of the slave auction and how, you know, how they would measure out the slaves and, you know, and rub them down and all that. Then it shows, you know, it shows pictures from the NFL Combine where pretty much they were doing the same thing to the players. Now, I'm not going to go so far as to say that NFL or professional sports is slavery, because that's crazy. You know, nothing compares to slavery. So I don't want to think people are, you know, I don't want people to think I'm going off on that tangent. But in a group that I'm in, I kind of agreed to what
I know which group you're talking about.
Yeah. So I want to know what do you think when people make that kind of comparison, Tony?
Well, to me, it's a micro and a macro perception. On a macro perception, I can see from the rich white people side versus the poor people looking at the white people purchasing these athletes to be on their team. I can see that whole macro, this is like slavery perception. But on the micro side of it, you have to understand there is one very distinct difference here, and that is these athletes are volunteering to take the white man's money. Slaves were not volunteering to be slaves, and they were not being paid. They were literally being bought. Now, of course, on the macro, you can look and say, well, they're being bought in the NFL. They're being bought in the NBA. They are being leased, but they're not being bought, and they're being paid. So while the pitchers can be similar, the actual background of the story is different. So that I don't agree with the comparison.
Well, the points that I agreed on, and a couple of things that, you know, that I started, you know, looking at, you know, like I said, especially, you know, with these Donald Sterling comments, you know, the way that he was saying, well, I provide them clothing, I provide them housing, and I provide them food. You know, and when I start looking, I mean, if you think about those comments, that sounds like a slave master comment. You know,
absolutely. But at the same time, he is providing them those things with a paycheck versus just giving them a place to sleep, giving them some food out of his pantry, and letting them ride in a vehicle that he controls. No.
Yeah.
He is giving them a paycheck, and they are doing what they want with that paycheck. If that's the case, every business in America is providing them clothing, food, and cars.
Well, that's why I said I don't want to, you know, I don't want to make the complete comparison to slavery. But then another thing that bothered me when I started thinking about the 80% of football players that are bankrupt within 5 years of them leaving the NFL.
Okay, that's, you know, their own fault. That is mismanagement and bad budgeting.
Let's look at that though. It's their own fault in the sense that yes, you know, they went broke. Nobody forced them to go broke. But then looking at, which, like I said, I guess we can say it, you know, for other markets too, you know. But looking at the product that they produce and the money that they produce, and comparing that to the money that they actually receive, then when you look at things like the taxes, how they get taxed in every state, how you know, they got agents. You know, like I say, basically what I forget.
Come on, Mike, that's ridiculous. If that's the case, you can say that about any job.
Texas, somebody, no, well, any job, you don't get taxed in every state you go to. But Texas, somebody posted a link a couple of years, maybe like last year, and it showed the breakdown of how much the athletes receive out of $1 million. And I don't know, did you see that? I think it came out to like maybe like 300,000 out of $1 million. You know,
well, that's their own fault. I mean, you cannot blame anybody but yourself when you go hire this agent that's going to take 40% of your profits, then taxes are going to take 20%. So right there, you're 50% down before you receive a dime.
Well, like I said, I'm not taking the you know, the accountability off of the players, but I'm saying if you see a system like that that's set up where these guys are basically putting in this work, and like I say, the system, if we know that the system is set up, like I say, it would. When you talk about 80%, that becomes the norm then. So we can say that it's not, we can say that it's normal for these players to become bankrupt, right?
No. And the reason why I think most players are becoming bankrupt is because they are not taking advantage of that college degree that they should before they go into the NFL. Get your degree and understand finance and management before you go in and call yourself being a businessman. That's what the NFL is, a business.
Even you have said before how these kids put in so many hours on the football field and so many hours devoted to playing football to where they can't afford to really do that much else. So if you're putting in 80 hours a week devoted to, just towards football, how much time can you really devote towards school and all this other stuff?
See, that's where your problem is. If you are going to the university of anything, your first priority is your academics. That's why it's called a university. It's not called the sports complex. It's not called the athletic center. It's called a university. It is an institution of academic higher achievement.
That, like I say, that sounds good. Take away Tony the professor and go back to Tony at University of Florida, who had friends who were on the University of Florida football team. You've seen these cats.
Okay.
You've seen how much work they had to put in.
Absolutely.
So how much? I mean, looking at it from that perspective, taking out that you're a professor, can you really blame most of them when they jump to the NFL?
Absolutely not. I mean, I don't blame any of them, honestly. But the thing is, you have to have a core and a basic foundational understanding of the business that you are about to go into. The thing is, everybody looks at sports as just sports. There is a business side to everything on earth, even the church. And I'm telling you, if you ignore the business side, you will come out on the wrong end of it every time. And that's the problem with these young kids, 17, 18, 19, 20 years old, going into college, is this idea that they're not teaching them that what they're doing is not just a sport, it's a business. And you need to understand the business side as much as you need to understand the training and athletic side, because they teach them how to eat right, they teach them how to stretch, they teach them how to exercise, they teach them how to do all the things to make it out there on Saturday, but they don't teach them the business side, how to make it on Sunday. And that's the problem.
Okay, I agree with that, because I've told people, I think that they need to actually do that for every student, you know, regardless if they're a student athlete or not. You know, like I said, I think they need to do that in high school too. You know, it's kind of like I think they used to do it, you know, like back in the day, you know, like I say, when I was in school, you know, when you was in school, they used to give us, you know, econ and, you know, and show us how to balance a checkbook and stuff like that. And from what I, you know, like I said, my little sister, she's just now graduating. They don't do that anymore with these kids. You know, so it's kind of, you know, like I said, that aspect's kind of changed. I think that they do need to teach them that, you know, it's like I tell people, if you can't manage $100, then you won't be able to manage $1 million, you know. So
if you can't manage $10, You can't manage 100. And if you can't manage 100, you can't manage 1,000. And if you can't manage 1,000, you can't manage a million.
Okay, but that's what I'm saying. But if we – okay, so we have this system that's in place. Like I say, I mean, why isn't there somebody that this warning? Well, I mean, like I mean, you know, like I say, I, you know, the information is out there. Like I say, we know that 80% of these dudes are going bankrupt. Why hasn't there been a contingency plan or something set up to stop this?
Well, I'm going to go out on a limb like Tony Watley always does and say something really crazy. And that is, it ain't none of those white folks' problem, and it ain't none of those white folks' concern. It's the parents' fault. Why? Because if your parents spent more time investing their information, their knowledge, and their time into their children's future, they would be making sure that he would be budgeting, financing, and managing his money more appropriately. And if that means being their agent and keeping all the money in the family, then so be it. But it comes time for a parent to take responsibility for his or her child or their child, and it comes a time when a parent needs to know more than a damn high school diploma, too.
That's true. That's, like I said, that's absolutely true. Now, going on that same thing that you said, doesn't that kind of go back to the parallels to the field hand, to where all the master cares about is getting the work done, and he really doesn't care what happens to the field hand, and the next man comes up, and you know, and it keeps going?
Okay, but if that's the case, if you want to just keep seeing that, every worker in America works for a slave master. And every worker in America, no matter what your color is a slave. Why? Because every one of them is working for a master that only cares about his profits.
Yeah, that's true, but you know, 80% of Americans aren't going bankrupt, though.
Oh, you'd be surprised.
There's, like I said,
people file bankruptcy every single day. Bankruptcy is filed in America every single day by millions of people.
I'm talking about 80. I mean, 80% though, Tony. That's saying if we have five guys, four of them are going bankrupt. We know it. It's going to happen.
Okay, again, that's lack of education. That's why you were in college. You should have stayed and got one.
So four out of every five NFL players is uneducated is what you're saying.
Absolutely. I would say minimum three out of five NFL draftees that go to the NFL draft before they graduate from college are undereducated, very much so, to the point of being an adult and being a millionaire and not knowing how to control your finances. I would say more than 80%. I'd say 95%.
You know, I like I said, maybe before I would have disagreed with you. You know, I think it goes back to one of those things, like I said before, you know, with black folks, you know, everybody likes to put us in a big group. You know, we got different, you know, inner workings like every other group of people. And it's like I said, I've never really been, well, like I said, I've seen people that I would consider uneducated. But sometimes when I look at some of these interviews of these NFL players, and it's like, I'll be like, man, is this dude even literate? You know,
Exactly.
You know, I mean, seriously, have you ever just been like, golly, it's like, absolutely. You know, it's from my hometown, and it's like every time I hear him speak, it's like, what the hell? You went to Cal? You know, like,
exactly. You know, Cal is one of the top colleges in the world, not just in America, in the world.
And you come out
talking Ebonics like it's the norm.
Man, it's, like I said, but, I mean, people try to lump us all into one group, but it's like, you know, and like I said, I've been in poor areas or whatever, but, you know, like I say, some of these guys, you know, smart doesn't, you know, poor doesn't, you know, necessarily mean dumb. You know, like I say, some of these football players, it's like, what were you doing in, I mean, not even in high school, what were you doing in elementary school? How did
but
you
let's
make
be,
it out of
let,
school?
Let's be honest. Let's be honest, Mike. It ain't even their fault. It's their parents' fault. You got these greedy-ass parents who know that the best way for them to get out of the hood, get out of the projects, is to have that baby and just push that baby in sports that baby's entire life. And they don't care about no education. They don't care about nothing. All they care about is keep running that damn football, keep shooting that damn basketball, keep doing those types of, keep boxing, keep whatever you got to do so that one day you can be a professional, make $1 million, and buy me a damn house. That's all they care about. It ain't even about the child. It's about them. And parents do it every day. They even got television shows right now of mothers pushing their little daughters through these beauty contests and stuff. And it ain't about the daughters. It's about the mothers. Crazy-ass mothers thinking they missed something in their own life, so they're pushing their children through it. And it's the same way in the hood. These crazy-ass mothers and parents that want to get out of the hood, ain't going to try to go to school to get out of the hood, ain't going to try to do nothing for themselves to get out of the hood. The only damn thing they good for is opening their legs and having babies. So what they decided was they was going to take one of their babies and make their babies get them out of the hood.
Well, let me ask you this. As an educator, I know you do, you know, you're a professor. Have you ever done high school? Have you ever been a high school teacher?
Never. Thank you, Jesus.
See, because I was about to, I'm wondering what is, okay, like, say you have a kid that's not so smart in your class. How, okay, let's say, how long does it take you, like, when you get a new class of students, how long does it take you to kind of feel the students out to go, okay, these are going to be
my, the first day.
Immediately.
The first day. You can feel, you know what, I'm going to be on it. Well, I don't know this can happen in high school. But it can definitely happen, like in college. You know the problem kids within the first 20 minutes of class. You know why? Because half of the problem kids show up late. So that if the class starts at 9 o'clock in the morning, they show up at 9:30. You already know they the problem. There's going to be a problem. Then they get into class, and they're on their cell phones, they're trying to hide and text, you know, they're sitting next to somebody and keep talking to them. You know the problem kids right off the bat.
Well, okay.
It don't take days, it don't take weeks, it takes minutes.
When they talk about, like, kids falling through the cracks in high school, do you think the same thing could happen in college? I mean, how are some of these kids, even if they do, even if they don't get their degree, how are some of these dudes even making it through 3 years of college? I mean, how is that possible?
We've had this conversation. I really can't get into specifics, but I am telling you, it is a lie, and the truth ain't in none of these colleges. It is a lie. None of these athletes are actually making them 3.5 GPAs, and all, that is a lie. I'm telling you, I'm not going to say how I know. I'm not going to say, I'm just telling you it's a lie.
Okay, I believe
it's a lie.
What I want to know is it coming from the level of the teacher, or are the teachers handing in grades that are getting changed later? Where is this happening at? What level?
No, I'm going to tell you how it works. Athletics are allowed to, because of the time away, the travel, the training, they are allowed to have tutoring. Now, you got to understand, all students are allowed to have tutoring. So that basically what they're saying is the athletes are not getting anything more than the regular student is getting. Regular students can go to counseling. Regular students can go get tutoring. It's all provided for all students. And on the macro, like we were talking about before, that is very true. The student athletes are not getting anything that the students aren't getting. But on the micro, they are getting a whole lot more than the average is getting, because what is happening is the tutoring that an average student gets when he goes to the counseling center for tutoring is a basic, how can I help you? The tutoring that an athlete is getting when he goes to his tutor is, this is what I need you to do. Now, I'm not going to go into any more than that, but what I'm telling you is the tutoring that athletes get is not the tutoring that regular students get, so that when that athlete goes to take that test, he doesn't take that test with the rest of his students.
Okay,
he doesn't take that test in there with that teacher. He doesn't take that test with that class. He gets to go to the student services. He gets to go into a room and they hand him his test. Now, you have to understand that the teacher has provided student counsel or the student advising with this test previous to him taking this test. Do you not understand what I'm saying to you? So before he takes the test, student counseling has the test so that his student advisor can have already helped him understand what's going to be on the test as far as the grades, as far as the answers, this, that, the other. Now, are they taking it for him? No, he still has to go in there and take it, but he knows 100% exactly what's on it. So then he goes in there, he takes it, he makes an A, and that's how they have 3.5 and 3.9 and 3.8 GPAs.
Now, what else I wanted to talk about was last week we had Quinn Gray as a special guest on the show. He was an excellent guest, by the way.
Yes.
We got into talking about a developmental league. You know, why doesn't the NFL have a developmental league? You know, every other sport does. Even basketball has a D league now. Do you think that if there was like a minor league for the NFL, do you think that a lot of these guys would just bypass college and go right there and, you know, and just come up through that? I mean, especially, you know, if you're going to be getting a check and you don't have to worry about going to school or any of that kind of crap, you know, do you think that'll be the result of that? Or do you think you'll still have active college football?
I think you will still have very, very active college football. Why? Because I believe that an intermediate league that's between college and professional sports would not be something that would draw a whole lot of attention as far as fans.
I'm not talking about an intermediate league. I'm talking about an actual minor league, you know, to where you could actually get a player who could come out of high school and actually just bypass, you know what I mean? Just like the NBDA. I'm talking about more like baseball, to where you got your.
No, I really don't think that would work in America. The reason why a minor league for baseball works in America is because there are so few baseball teams compared to cities in America that love baseball. So that, for example, in Tampa, we don't have a baseball. Well, you know, St. Petersburg has a baseball team that's called the Tampa Bay Rays. But in Tampa, Florida, we don't have a baseball team. But we do have the Yankees that come here for spring practice. They have a minor league team that also plays here, and we have that minor league team. But what I'm saying is there are several cities in the country that truly enjoy minor league baseball because they don't have it. Football's not the same. Every single city has a high school. And because every single city has a high school, they love their high school football. Then the state loves its state college football. Then they love their NFL teams or whatever. So that there really isn't a space for a minor league football team in a state that will draw enough attention for people to come out to it unless they are members of that person's family.
A couple of years ago, there was a concept for a league called the All-American Football League, and what their concept was going to be was they were going to have teams basically from each state, and the players would have to have gone to college in that state. And I like that idea because you could still get that kind of college football field, you know, get that kind of feel, and, you know, you get to watch more football, basically. So, you know, you might get a couple of guys, you might get a guy like a Tebow, you know, cats who, you know, who didn't make it in the NFL, and,
right.
You know,
local celebrity.
Exactly, you know, and I think that, you know, I think something like that would be viable, and then, you know, and you can have state bragging rights. You know, everybody wants to see, you know, all we talk about on here, everybody wants to see California versus Texas, or Texas versus Florida, or Georgia versus Alabama, or, you know, in Tennessee versus North Carolina, you know what I mean? Everybody wants to see those matchups. So, you know, I think something like that, you know, I think they would have to tweak it. You know, like you say, you know, keep the college, you know, college high school aspect where you still get your regional pride, and then, you know, maybe just take it to another. I really, you know, that league kind of fell apart, you know, but they, you know, like I said, the way that they set up, you know, it intrigued me to where I was, you know, like I said, if it would have started, I would have went to have gone and seen it, you know, especially.
But you have to understand that you are an avid sports fan and enthusiast. The only way that you are going to get any athletic thing working is for that not enthusiast to find enthusiasm during the season. Like, there are a lot of women and a lot of men that don't watch any sports, but they love the Super Bowl. You understand what I'm saying? So they're going to watch the Super Bowl. There are a lot of men and women that don't watch basketball, but they watch the NBA playoffs. There are a lot of men and women that don't like college football, but they watch the national championship. Don't like college basketball, but they watch the Final Four. It's that kind of attraction that you have to get from those non-enthusiasts of the sport that makes the sport keep going. I just don't see you getting that from the average field of players that you're talking about in a regional league.
Okay, we might have a difference of opinion here. I'm going to go ahead and bring in a caller. Hey, what's going on? You're on CFT Firestorm.
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
Hey, what's up, Matt?
What's up, Matt?
I'm good, man. A minor league system in the NFL for football can 100% absolutely work, and it will work only if the NFL backs it. Anything the NFL will back will work because it has popularity. The reason the AFL doesn't succeed like it should, because the NFL is extremely entertaining. If you say that offense is what puts butts in the seats and defense wins games, there isn't more offense than the AFL. If you want to see an offensive football game, watch the AFL. It's like 70 to 68 games. Those are like average scoring games. So it can absolutely work, but has to be backed by the NFL. And they have to treat it, they have to model the system after baseball. The baseball system has it working properly. That is the minor league system that people need to look at. And the whole thing with, you know, we're already starting to see a lot of players in Europe, Germany, Switzerland, Sweden, all over Europe starting to come in to the United States. I mean, we had it. What was a kid from, Florida State, the defensive end? He was from Germany. So that stuff's really starting to come over, and we're starting to get those high school players being brought into the college ranks. But I don't necessarily think that a minor league football system is going to harm college football. What it would do, because like any minor league system, it's going to give those players that feel like they stand out and they can go play for money, it'll give them that opportunity to go play for money. But I think what they're going to figure out is it's going to be a lot harder making a team that you're playing for money, because let's face it, there's only so many guys that are invited to the combine. I mean, there was a kid that I knew was really well. He was first team Big Ten. He didn't even get invited to the combine. Didn't even get invited. Rated as one of the top 10 cornerbacks in all of college football. Didn't even get invited to the combine. He ended up going undrafted. So, I mean, you have to understand, there's a lot of talent that is available that doesn't make a roster. And think about the guys that didn't get picked up that were undrafted from last year. They went to pro days this year. So there's a lot of talent there that people know from those states. The All-American Football League, I think, was a little bit too gimmicky because it did give that college feel. But, I mean, I think too many people would look at it as a has-beens league. And, you know, talking with Chris Dishman, Eric Crouch, that was kind of – they both were on board with it because they wanted to play.
I think Crouch was the number one pick in that draft, too, I
did. Yeah, he was. He was on board with it, but that's the way that they looked. They understood that, too. They were on board because they wanted to keep playing and because it was, like, the only other opportunity he'd have to play quarterback. So it was just one of those things, and it was just a little bit too gimmicky. Like the XFL, a little too gimmicky. You know, it brought good things to the NFL, and I think the UFL was actually going in the right direction. The problem is they didn't get they tried to do it without the NFL, and the NFL utilized their talent because their quote-unquote Super Bowl was about 2 weeks or a week and a half before the NFL free agent deadline and trade deadline. So you could pick up players that were the MVP of that league and bring them on. I mean, that's how Dominic Rhodes got picked up by Indianapolis. He was, I think he was the leading rusher in the UFL, and then he got picked back up. So it's things like that will give those guys that would normally be on a practice squad or guys that were and let's take a look at it. There's a lot of indoor football leagues and a lot of minor league or semi-pro teams that have guys that were, you know, ex-NFL players or college players that didn't pan out maybe in the NFL. They, you know, I mean, you come in 1 year, you're heavy on cornerbacks, and maybe you would have been really good a couple years later and probably would have made a squad, but, you know, it's all about timing. So a minor league system would give them time to still play and maybe make another squad. So, I mean,
and plus, you know,
there's money in it. People pay money for football.
The market for football is so big, it's like, why not fill it? I mean, why are we watching football right now? You know, it's like, you know, why isn't there somebody playing right now that I could turn on TV and watch a game right now?
Exactly. I mean, we have Australia. Australia is huge, believe it or not. Australia is huge in the football. Europe's getting huge in the football. And the thing is, and people are going to laugh, the Legends Football League, formerly known as the Lingerie Football League, they're light speed ahead of the NFL when it comes to actually establishing leagues throughout the globe. They have globes in South America, in Brazil. They have them in Australia. They have them in Japan, China, and they have them in Europe. So they're already ahead of the game when it comes to women's professional football. So it's kind of one of those things where, you know, if the NFL grasps a hold of a minor league system, that's going to feed their pro system. And I definitely...
Come on, Matt. Come on now. The reason why the women playing football is all over the universe is because you have men all over the universe. Let's keep it real.
No, I adamantly disagree. It's not 100% sex appeal. All those women that are playing lingerie football, they're women. Those are athletes.
Play.
I guarantee they'll lay your ass out, Watley. I guarantee it.
I guarantee you I ain't going to buy a ticket to go watch them play sports. I guarantee you that. I'm going to not only see, it ain't no different than watching them mud wrestle. It ain't no different than watching them do that kind of stuff. You can call it a sport all you want, but men are there to see tits and ass. They ain't there to see how athletically prowess those women are. Don't give me that. Come on. Really?
Well, you are such a closet Republican, man. You know that, Watt? You're such a closet Republican. I swear to God. You're always talking on
really
this.
Is.
You always say
really
you're such
is.
A liberal,
really is,
but on
he
the
does.
Other end, everything
funny,
you say is
really
so conservative.
Is.
Yep. No, I don't mean to sound conservative. I just keep it real. You are not going to those football games to watch a good football game. You are going to see scantily clad athletic women hit each other and hopefully one of them pieces of equipment will come off.
You're watching scantily clad, muscly, athletic men hit each other and play a game. What the hell's the deal?
And there's plenty of women that watch for one reason and one reason only.
Okay, then what the hell's the difference? It's the same shit. It's a sport.
No, because
it's entertainment.
How many women come to the women football games?
A lot.
Other than lesbians.
No, they're being, like I say, I know the regular, honestly, Tony, the regular league out here, that's just a regular women's football league would be packed, you know, and it wouldn't.
Yeah,
be,
because
know.
Boyfriends and husbands bring their wives. I mean, just chicks wanting to do a chick's night out, going to watch a chick football game. Come on, guys. Stop lying.
Stop lying. Roller derby has huge crowds, and there aren't lesbians or anything. They're just chicks who want to go out and watch roller derby.
I have a cousin that was in a roller derby. It was in roller derby. The no coach.
We ain't talking roller derby. We talking women's football.
We're talking women's sports.
Exactly.
No, we talking women's football. Not women's sports. Women's football. Stay focused.
I said football is a sport.
Well, Tony, when you take the aspect of women's sports and you add in sex appeal, I mean, to me, that's a plus. I don't see what's wrong with it.
I know.
Like I said,
we're men. Of course we don't see what's wrong with it.
I'm going to be truthful. If a lot of the WNBA players didn't look like guys, I might watch some of their games.
Come on now, listen. I'm gonna be. Let's keep it real, and you know, I'm probably gonna ruin my political career with what I'm about to say now. But if half of the women in the WNBA were not already in a man's mind seen as lesbians or ugly, you would get a whole lot more viewership of the WNBA if they looked more like Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders, even if they didn't make a single shot, and you know it.
I will watch more of them if they didn't look that bad. But I mean, to me, that's even more plus about the Legends League. You got fine chicks who can play football.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Like, there's some players like in the NBA that I would like to see, like what's the girl's name, the tall girl, Brittany Griner. I would like to see her play just because, you know, she's so freaking tall and, you know, she can
But that's because
that.
She can do things like dunk a basketball. For a woman to be able to dunk a basketball, you'd watch that just to see it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, it's not just about the looks of the female.
It'll be gimmicky, man, but, you know, who are you going to watch? You going to go watch Brittany Griner or are you going to go watch Skylar Diggins or Candace Parker? You know, a girl who could bring you the same game who actually
I'd rather watch I think Brittany I'd rather watch
who actually looks like a female, you know.
It's a toss up, man. It's a toss up actually.
Who would I rather look at or who would I rather see watch play? It's the same question. I mean, think about it. If you're going to watch Brittany Griner, if I were a basketball fan, you know, I mean, why wouldn't I just go watch dudes play?
I would rather go watch a movie of some of them girls pretending. pretending to be basketball players than to go watch them real girls playing basketball. Why? Because I ain't there for the basketball. I ain't going to lie.
Well, you know, like I said,
that's just keeping it real.
Like I said, I would watch. You know, like I said, I'd watch it. You know, like I mean, when I look at stuff, I mean, we, you know, nobody's blind. You know, like I said, we can tell pretty girls from ugly girls. So if I'm watching something and a pretty girl is there, it's only going to enhance my viewing. You know, and like I say, and it might make me watch again. You know, it's only so many times. You know, I could see Brittany Griner go out there and imitate LeBron James. You know, it's like, why would
exactly, and then Brittany Griner go on the sideline after the game and start French kissing her girlfriend. That will make me not want to watch the next Brittany Griner game.
Well, like Matt said, that's very conservative of you, Tony.
Yeah. Well, I'm just being real. Because, you know, the one thing we do as men is fantasize. And I'm telling you, Brittany's a cute girl, but the second she goes on the sideline and starts kissing another girl, that ruined my fantasy. I don't have anything against her doing it. That's her business. But my fantasy was with her. Once she showed me that she could never have a fantasy with me, I'm done.
I don't even think she's a cute girl. Brittany Griner looks like this. Clauzel, you remember those two twins that used to run track at FAMU?
Yep.
That's who
yep.
Brittany Griner looked like, doesn't she?
Yeah, I
don't know now. Honestly, I think if you was to take Brittany Griner, get her some makeup on, get her hair did, and put her some nice clothes on, she could be a cute girl. I really do.
Yeah, maybe, but she ain't going to do that. So you got to take her. You got to take her.
I thought she was a man. Personally, I thought she was, like, disguising to be. I didn't go that far, but you could tell that she had high testosterone.
I saw her. I was in the same elevator with her and a couple of other players in person when she was still in college. They were Baylor was in the Bay Area playing in the women's tournament. They were staying in the same hotel as my aunt had her birthday in. And let's just say I was intimidated. It's like, where are you? You know, it's like you are, you know, like, because I had heard about it, but, you know, when you actually be next to a woman that's that much bigger than you, it's like, God, you know, like, what, you know, I don't want to watch any of this, you know, like, so, you know.
I disagree. I mean, I agree when she's out there sweating and ain't got on makeup and her hair ain't done, she ain't the most attractive girl. And I agree also that she is not one of those pretty, prissy girls, so that even when she's off the court, she ain't trying to be all dressed up. She's probably sitting around in basketball shorts and doing nothing. But if you were to take her, put some makeup on her, get her hair done professionally, all of those things, and get her some of those Gucci clothes and, you know, high sedity clothes, I think you could make her a pretty girl because she's got a beautiful skin complexion. She's got a great bone structure. I think you could do it. Cover up all that manliness. And
you're advocating for Brittany Griner to wear a hair hat.
No, I'm just saying the girl is not unattractive. If you were to look at her in the right perspective, she is not unattractive. She just does not try very hard to be pretty.
I think the girl that was drafted after her is somewhat of an attractive woman. Not Skylar Diggins, but the one drafted right before her. I don't know her name. You know what I'm talking about?
The white girl?
Yeah, she played for, like, Delaware or New Hampshire or something
Deladon.
I think she's straight,
that.
Man. And I think, Maya Moore.
She's pretty fine.
Yeah, I think Maya Moore could look pretty good if she got herself put together.
Man, she was looking good when she was in that, when she didn't have that makeup on, when she was in that Pepsi commercial. I didn't know she had a body like that.
Like I said, you get more girls that look like old girl from Love and Basketball, the movie, and you make them WNBA stars, and I promise you, I will watch more WNBA games.
There's women that look like her in the league. You talking about Sanaa?
I said more. I didn't say there wasn't some that already did. I said more that look like her.
Oh, okay.
You got, I mean, you got some nice looking ones. Like, you know, you like you nice said, you got Maya Moore. You know, Sue Bird was a little cutie. I forget what the lady was. Who's the Australian lady? I can't think of her name. She was cute, though. You know, you got, I mean, like I said, Candace Parker's cute to me.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest with you. It's just like tennis. I was not interested in women's tennis in the least bit until Sharapova and the Williams sister, Venus came out. Was it Serena? Serena came out. Sharapova came out. All them Russian girls start coming out. Next thing you know, I was watching tennis every time it was on. I ain't gonna lie.
I agree with Sharapova a little bit, but the Williams sisters, I don't know. They kind of look.
Come
like
on, them. Dude! If you ain't seen Serena Williams in some of them tight stretch pants she put on, boy, you are missing it.
She looks like a dude I used to know.
But let me tell you something. In your fantasy, her face ain't there. I promise you.
Oh yeah. Okay, I see where you're going at there, but you know.
Yeah, Sue Bird is cute. Swing Cash is cute. Tamika Catchings is cute. I got a list of all the cute what's her name? Lisa Leslie used to be cute too. She's retired now. But yeah, I mean, you know, you got some cute girls that's in the WNBA. But you know, like I said, you got a couple of ugmos too. But
a lot of ugly women in the WNBA.
And honestly, it ain't even about the cute or ugly. And I am far from homophobic. I agree with everybody's right to do whatever they want to do. But to me, I'm not gay, so I'm not attracted to men, and I'm not attracted to men who are attracted to men. I'm not attracted to women who are attracted to women. I don't find two women any more sexy than I do two men. So when you know that more than half, 50% of the WNBA are lesbians, that just makes you go, I don't want to watch that.
Let's get on Winston now.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah,
let's get on my boy. We got to get on my boy here. He's still my favorite player.
Let's switch gears to the king of the news headlines, Mr. Famous James
Crab Legs himself.
Yeah, you know what? I want to say something here. He's in the news, but what has he done in this past week?
He shouldn't be doing nothing. He should just be a regular college.
Exactly.
I know. What the hell are you talking about?
He hasn't done nothing this past week.
Oh, so in other words, we're taking Winston week for week?
No, he hasn't done nothing this past week.
I just now typed in his name. It says Jameis Winston suspiciously missing from teammates' hearing. So he obviously is up to something.
No,
so in other words, we're taking Jameis Winston week for week to see if he can stay good for a week. What other college player in all of NCAA are we worried about week for week?
Wiley, just calm down. Let's get the point across.
He's a loser. That's the point.
He was in lines this week, right? Hello?
He is a deviant to society.
No, he's not a deviant to society, please. You want to make him a deviant to society. They're going to call back in a minute here. First of all, Winston has not done anything wrong.
Oh, shut up. There is a difference between guilty and illegal.
Let me finish. He is not a deviant to society. He has not done anything maliciously wrong.
Oh, my God.
There's a lot of evidence to indicate that he didn't rape that girl. Okay, I'm back.
Okay, there's a lot of evidence like semen that says he did.
That's not evidence that he did. There was her old boyfriend's semen was in her underwear, too. Did you know that?
Oh, who cares about that? She said no. If she said no, that's rape.
Please.
okay, let me.
Yeah, but that, I mean, it's true.
Let me ask you this question, Tony. If it happened like that, why when they sent it to other player who they're trying to kick him out of school right now? Why when he came in the room, why did she tell him to get out? Why didn't she say help me or stop?
Exactly.
Okay, there is a difference. There is a difference between not wanting to be having sex and not wanting to have everybody in the room while you're having sex. Also,
this is the point where Tony Wiley.
You guys are acting like you don't see the bigger picture.
Tony is
about to start pulling things directly out of his butt.
Exactly. He probably believes in Benghazi too. He wants to convince himself.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Let me help you. Wait a minute. Gentlemen, let me say this. Before you go off, let me say this. There is a law in the state of Florida that says no means no. And the law goes like this, before you say a word. The law goes like this. A female can willingly start having sex with you. Consciously, willingly have sex with you. But the second she says no, you must stop. If you don't stop, it is rape. From that point forward, that is a law in the state of Florida.
So hold on. If I start having sex with Brett consistently and the music falls and she says no and I can't hear her.
You're breaking up. I can't understand you.
Said if I'm having sex with a girl and
yes.
the music on and she says no and the music's loud and I don't hear her and I keep going, I'm raping her now?
Yes, you are. If she says no, it doesn't matter whether you say you heard her or not. If she says she said it, then you have to stop.
Hold on. So like I said, so we're only going by her word there.
You have to stop. You have to stop. That is the law. That is the law in Florida.
You didn't answer his question.
If she says she said it, you just said it.
Exactly.
If she says she said it. So we're going by her word alone, right?
Of course he is going to deny it, but I'm telling you what the legal law in Florida says. The legal law in Florida says the second, it doesn't matter if you've been having sex for 3 hours,
the second she says no, you have to stop.
Just now let
George Zimmerman go free. So the laws.
Okay, but it's still the law, and I'm telling you what the law is, and the law says the second she says no, you have to stop.
Yeah, Wiley's trying to convince himself. He's trying to convince himself
that he did it.
That's all it is.
These other people,
feminists and these racists out there just want to convince themselves that he did it.
This ain't got nothing to do with that boy's race. I could care less whether he was black, white, blue, or green. Wrong is wrong no matter what color he is. What are you talking about? This ain't got nothing to do with what his race is.
Let me finish. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. If you let me finish, you want to convince yourself that he did it when there's so much evidence. There is so much evidence that he didn't even do this.
There is not so much evidence he didn't have sex with her. There is so much evidence that he did.
No, nobody said no. But you're trying to say that he raped her.
Okay, but you cannot prove he didn't. Just like you can't prove he did, you can't prove he didn't.
You
just want us to take his side, and from all his other actions, I don't believe a word he says.
You want to convince yourself that he did it. That's all it is.
I don't have to convince myself. His actions since then have proven to me that he cannot be trusted.
Let me try to reason with him, Quazelle.
Saying a bunch of BS.
If you are being raped, let's say you go to jail, and in your jail cell you're being raped, and a prison guard sticks his head into your cell. Are you going to say, help me, or are you going to tell him to get out of here?
Wait a minute. Again, I need you to be quiet and hear what I'm saying, because you guys are missing my point. My point is...
We know your damn point.
Wait.
We already heard that shit. We know that.
Wait. Let me finish. He just asked me a question. Let me answer it.
Yeah.
He just asked me a question. Let me answer it. Okay. I'm going to give you a hypothetical first, okay? This is a hypothetical. Let's say... And this is a hypothetical. I need you to calm down.
Oh, God.
Oh, all right. Let's say, for example, they met in the club, okay? He told old girl to meet him back at his room in 20 minutes or so, whatever, right? He gets home. He tells his roommate, hey, I got this girl coming up. What I want you to do is... Once she gets in here, I want you to sneak in, and I want you to videotape me tearing that ass up. All right? This is hypothetical. I'm not saying this is what happened. I'm saying I've heard things like this happen before, and this is a hypothetical. So he says, that's funny as hell. Okay, yeah, let's do that. He goes and calls himself. Going downstairs, get him something to drink, whatever. She comes in the room, they get started. Roommate, friend, whatever you want to call him, decides it's time to sneak in and get that video started. He comes in, makes some noise, she sees him and says, get out of here. Okay, he thinks he's, well, let me finish. He thinks he's caught, whatever. He says, okay, gone, right? He leaves. At this point in the sexual encounter, she is at a willing position. She is at a willing position. Later on in the sexual encounter, she is in the middle of her sexual encounter, the guy comes back, starts filming again, it pisses her off, she says, stop. She says, no, and because the guy, he knows the guy is filming him, doing whatever he's doing, he keeps on going with her. You have just broke the law.
That
is how the law in Florida works. How do I know that? Because I know people who have broken that law and lost a lot for it. Let's put it that way.
You just now created a completely made-up situation in which two...
No, that is not a complete... It's hypothetical to this situation, but I know that it has happened before.
No, it's not.
Made up.
No, it's not.
So you're gonna tell me that couldn't have been a scenario?
No, because they all went to the room together because they all went in the cab in the same cab together. That's what she reported to the police. Look at the police report, Wiley. All right.
What I'm saying to you is, even though they went to the room together, the sexual encounter could have been something where she wanted it to be just her and Winston.
Wiley don't even want to listen, man. You don't want to listen, Wiley. You want to convince
yourself. I'm listening. I'm listening.
No, you're not. You don't care. No matter what proof is, somebody's going to show up in your face.
You haven't given any proof. What proof have you given?
You're going to continue to believe that he raped her. That's what it's going to be.
He did rape her.
You are no different than a lot of these probably women that think that he did it, and a lot of these racists that think
he raped her.
That's what you believe.
No means no.
Listen to what you're saying. You're saying that this man is a rapist, and you don't know what happened.
I know she said no, and that's all I need to know. If she said she said no, then it's rape.
How do you know that?
She can't be lying.
How do you know that?
She can't be lying.
Yeah.
Absolutely she can be lying, but so can he. How do you know he ain't?
But you don't know that she said no, but you can say that she knew that.
I'm going to reserve judgment. But you're saying, you just now said he raped her. You just said it twice.
Okay. No, what I'm saying is, if you are so adamant that he didn't, you have people like me who are just as adamant that he did.
You're not even listening to what I'm saying. I said I'm going to reserve judgment. You just now said he raped her twice.
Because Clausel is saying he didn't rape her at all. So for those who say he did, there are those who say he didn't, and then there's those like you, Mike, who want to reserve your judgment. But the bottom line is, you can't say he didn't and just blow it off, just like you can't say he did.
No, I said based on the facts. Based on the facts that I know, he didn't do it.
He did do it. Because half semen there, there had to be sex. And if there was sex, and she says there was no, and he kept going, then that's a fact that he raped her. Rape is very simple. When she says no, you got to stop.
Hold on. So you mean to tell me the semen, how do you know when the semen came out? You just
it came out in some kind of sexual contact. When was the last time you busted a nut from laughing?
Let me finish. You just said that if they're having sex and she says no, and
no, I said a sexual encounter.
Hold on. You just let me tell you what you just said. You said that.
I'm telling you what I just said. Don't tell me what I just said. I know what I just said.
You just said by Florida state law, if two people are having sex and the woman says no, and the guy keeps going, then it's rape, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so what I'm saying is, how do we know when that semen got in her underwear? How do we know that he didn't stop when she said no? How do we know anything?
Because she said he didn't stop.
But you based it
but
off
you,
of
but
semen.
But you don't know if she's telling the truth,
semen can come out.
Okay, but you know that he is? Is that what you're telling me?
No, you don't know he's truth, but you have evidence.
Okay, but you're telling me that he is. You're saying she's lying, but you're telling me he's telling the truth. Well, I got the semen in her underwear to prove sex was happening.
There's other evidence, Wiley.
Like what? What's the other evidence, Clausel?
That the pictures that she posted on her Instagram and Facebook after the rape occurred, that she posted of her rapist. Okay,
what about it?
The fact that she said she didn't even know who that guy was. She described him as 6 foot, as 5'11 when he's 6'4 on the police report. That's fact that she put that on there.
Maybe it's called called being embarrassed.
Oh my God, now man. Oh, we know that though. We don't know that, but we know for a fact that she put 5'11" on the police description when went to 6'4".
Okay.
We don't know embarrassing. We don't know that. We know
exactly.
That she put on the police report that he was 5'11" when he's really 6'4".
Okay. She also put his name.
You just want to gloss that over though.
She also put his name.
She didn't put
it doesn't
name.
Matter how big she thinks he is. She said his name.
She didn't put his name. She didn't put his name initially.
Not in the original report.
She did not.
Okay. Well, she eventually said his name. Like I said, originally she was either trying to protect him or protect herself.
She didn't say his name for a year later.
That was stupid. Why would she, if she's trying to protect somebody, why would she even go to the police? See, you're just coming up with stuff now, Wiley. That's what I'm saying, man.
Exactly.
You just want to convince yourself that he did it. You're like a Benghazi supporter. That's all you are, man. Come on, man. You just want to convince yourself of this stuff, man. Come on, man. I don't think you're racist. Why? I don't think you're racist. I just think that you're just trying to convince yourself that he did this.
Really?
Clearly, obvious. You know what I'm saying? And that's what's kind of annoying me with these people on Facebook. Like when you throw all this in their face, they still don't care. They still want to believe he raped her.
No. Let me give you the example, Clausel. This is finish. Wait a minute, let me completely finish this one.
Oh,
it's just like the Publix example. You can sit and you can say whatever you want to say about how they had a hookup. You can sit and say whatever you want to say about why he did what he did. He was immature. You can say whatever you want to say. But the legal and bottom line part goes like this. He walked into a store, he got some crab legs, and he walked out of the store and did not pay for them. That is the legal aspect of it. It doesn't matter whether it was a hookup. It doesn't matter if he's done it 1,000 times before. It doesn't matter if other people have done it. The bottom line is he got caught, and it's illegal.
Right, that's fine. Okay, you want to base that on facts, but you got to base that stuff on facts, too.
But what I'm saying is it's the same way here. You can he say, she say. You can say he said no, she said yes. But the facts are the facts. His semen was on her clothes, and she said no. In Florida, that is breaking the law.
No, that's not a fact. We don't know if that's a fact that she said no. What
that is a fact. In Florida, the law says the second she says no, you have to stop.
Hold on. No, we don't know if that's fact that she said no. Do we know that's fact?
We don't know that's fact. What I'm saying to you is the law is fact. And the law says the it doesn't matter how the encounter started. It doesn't matter how long they've been doing it. What matters is the second she says no, you must stop.
You are retreating your argument, Wiley. You're retreating.
No, the second you say no, you must stop. If she says she said no and he did not stop, he broke the law.
What evidence do you have that she said no?
She said no. Why do you think they sued?
That's evidence.
Is evidence. What other evidence are you going to have other than a microphone in the room?
That is evidence if you had something recorded, yeah.
Okay, but that's what I'm saying. If there was no microphone in the room, it's going to be his word against her word. So how does rape ever get a How does rape ever get prosecuted if all it is his word against her word? How does rape ever get prosecuted?
They do DNA.
Okay, the DNA is there, and his semen is there. So if she says she said no, and his semen's there, and it's a DNA test to say obviously sex happened, then he's guilty.
They do rape kits to see if there's forcible entry.
You come on, you can't tell forcible entry all the time.
Yes, you can.
Some people like rough sex.
Wait a minute, but you said that the semen is proof of sex and proof of rape.
No, semen is proof of sexual encounter. It's not proof of rape. It's proof of sexual encounter. You do not get semen from hugging. You do not get semen from kissing.
Okay, and you rape somebody just because you have sex with them.
No, what I'm saying is the sex itself was not the part of it that made it illegal. The saying no and the continuing of the sex is what makes it illegal.
And you're basing
she says she said no and he continued.
You're basing that off the assumption that she said no.
No, there is no assumption. She said no. In the state of Florida, that means he raped her.
No, it doesn't. So you're basing that off the assumption she's telling
yes, it does. How are you going to tell me the laws in Florida when you live in California?
Yeah, Wiley don't want
to. Well, I did go to school in Florida, and they had to take a class over rape. But anyway, you're basing this off the assumption that she's telling the truth then, right?
No, I'm not basing it on the assumption she's telling the truth. I'm basing it on the law that says the second she says no, if you continue to have sex with her, you have raped her. That is the law in Florida.
And you're assuming that she's telling the truth. Well, that's the law everywhere, but you're assuming that she's telling the truth.
I'm not assuming anything. I'm telling you facts in evidence. Facts and evidence is his semen was found, and facts and evidence is she said she told him no. Those are the facts, and with those two facts, he is guilty of rape.
Facts. Stop saying that.
Is the semen not a fact?
I did not, Tony. Quit trying to catch me off and saying crazy stuff.
The semen not a fact?
What you're saying about her saying no is not a fact.
She says it's a fact.
Wiley's crazy, man.
Dude, he's acting super crazy right now. Her word is
exactly
wrong.
I'm saying, man, he's a Benghazi supporter, man. He wants to believe that he did tell you, man. I mean, come on.
Wow. Can we move on? Because I don't want to talk about crab legs anyway. Like I told you, like I've been saying all day, I think he needs to get kicked out of FSU.
I'm starting to think that you have a vendetta against Jameis Winston.
Yep.
No. Like I said, not only am I a college professor, I have two sons in college right now. And if one of my sons, listen, has one of my sons been called, let me finish. Had one of my sons had an allegation of rape, and my son then went on and got caught stealing something, and my son had an allegation of making sexual videos in the dorms, the ethics and moral code of the University of Central Florida would kick his ass out. And you can't tell me they wouldn't. Jameis Winston needs to be kicked out of the University of Florida State University. Bottom line.
I've taken girls doing sexual stuff in dorms before. Which dude has not done that?
Okay, I guarantee you, had you been in college and done that and put it up on YouTube, your ass would have got kicked out of FAMU.
I did it while I was in college. What are you talking about?
And you'd have got kicked out of FAMU.
No, nobody did.
He didn't even do this. He was doing it. They were having sex at their apartment. Actually, he wasn't even in the dorm.
Now, let me go back to this.
That's what I really wanted to talk about today.
Now, Tony, you have son, so if a woman accuses your son of raping her, you're going to assume that she's telling the truth, right?
Exactly.
No, what I just said to you is my son is in college.
We're not talking.
If my son was accused of raping a young girl, then he was caught stealing, and then was accused of making a sexual video on campus, he would be kicked out of the University of Central Florida. My son, if my son's going to get kicked out, Jameis Winston needs to get kicked out.
That's not what he's asking.
Ask you a question. If one of your sons was accused by a girl of rape, you would go with it because her word is she's right, right? So he'd be guilty.
No, like I said, if my son was accused, we would go to court. But if the school found that in their moral and ethic code, not their fucking legal code, but their morality and ethics code, you know, a university does have other codes other than the legal code, and they was to kick my son out, there is nothing you can do about it.
None of this is what I asked you. You're changing the subject.
Exactly.
No, the thing is you are not trying to go into the whole answer. You just want to hear what you want to hear instead of wanting to hear the whole answer. If you ask me a question, I'm going to give you the whole answer.
You're not giving us the whole answer. You didn't even answer the question.
Right.
Exactly. Exactly.
No, you asked me about my son and if he was accused of doing something. I would take it legally, but if I took it all away legally and the school still said because of their moral and ethical codes, he is dismissed from that school, there is nothing I can do about it.
We're not talking about any of that. We're not talking about any of that. I said
it. But that is what I'm talking about. And what I'm saying is the moral and ethical codes of Florida State University should make Jameis Winston be out of the Florida State University.
You're right, Tony. You're right. We agree with you about that. Now, let me ask you this question. If one of your sons was accused of rape, are you going to assume that the girl is telling the truth and that your son's a rapist?
I am going to assume that we are going to have a process to find out the truth. That is what I'm going to assume.
And that
is the damn answer to the question. I am going to go through the legal process and find out if it's the truth.
And they did that.
Okay, so are you going to assume that the girl is telling the truth?
again, I am going to go through the legal process, and if the legal process says that he didn't do it, then I'm going to assume he didn't. If the legal process says he did, then I'm going to assume he needs his ass whooped.
Okay, but you just now assume that Jameis Winston raped this girl without any legal process happening.
If my son was in a situation where he was caught with the semen in that girl's pants and she said she told him no, then I would feel really bad for my son because he don't got himself in a hell of a situation.
And you would assume that he's a rapist then, right?
I would not assume anything. I would assume that he is going to get kicked out of college.
But you're assuming that for Jameis Winston, though. You just said that he's...
No, I would assume that he is going to get kicked out of college.
But you just
and that's what Jameis Winston should get, kicked out of college.
You said that he raped that girl because she said that she told him to stop, and that what she says goes in the state of Florida. That's what
the law in Florida says, Mike. So I don't care what the fuck you say about California. In Florida, if a girl says no, you have to stop. It doesn't matter what your name is. It doesn't matter how many Heisman trophies you win. It doesn't matter. If she says no, you have to stop.
Nobody's talking about any of that. Like I said, would you assume that your son can beat that girl?
Look, you are not going to get me to say what you want me to say. I'm going to stick to what I'm saying. The law says if she says she said no and you kept going, that is considered rape in the state of Florida. I don't care what they consider it in California. In the state of Florida, if she says no and he keeps going, that's rape.
How am I forcing him to answer a question? Either way, I just either want him to answer yes or no. You
well, hey, man, Kelly, Mike, he's in denial, man. He's in denial.
It's rape. If she says no and he keeps going, it's rape in the state of Florida.
He's in
denial. So your son would be a rapist then.
My son ain't done it, so I ain't got to worry about my son.
Hold on. Kelly, Mike, I wanted to ask you a question. I want to curtail this discussion here a little bit to Darby and Cashier in regards to why is the university calling them in for something petty as them taping her, you know. They told the police they were thinking about taping the video or whatnot of them having the sexual encounter, and now the university is going to call them in years after this incident to have them testify about the situation. What do you think about that? When all these other issues that could be going on campus, they're just going to call them for something like that.
Because it's a moral and an ethical code. That's what you guys don't seem to understand. It has nothing to do with the legality.
Oh, so she was drinking underage, right? She was drunk. She told the police she was drunk. Why did they ask her to come in there to give her a hearing on that? If you want to talk about ethical and moral code, why don't they bring in all the people that are underage drinking on campus? Why don't they bring the people?
Okay, this wasn't about drinking. It was about rape. And if you are filming a sexual act on campus, that is morally and ethically incorrect when you are in the Southern Bible Belt. And it is a public, taxpayer-funded institution of higher learning.
Cali, Mike, man, what's your opinion on that?
Like I say, man, it's, you know, those dudes, first of all, this happened, you know, like I say, I know dealing with the student, you know, with their system that they have set up at different colleges, it's very tricky because it's supposed to be for school-related activities, but yet, you know, for some reason they have a wide swath over anything that goes on with these kids' lives. Like I say, you know, I've seen these student councils. I've seen them actually hold, I guess you call them trials or whatever for actual rape. You know, they'll call it student misconduct or something like that. And, the most they can do is, you know, kick the kid out of the school or something like that. But, you know, like I say, in this case, you know, like I say, basically, you know, like I say on the internet, basically somebody's jimmies got rustled and, you know, they went, you know, hey, well, you know, basically this is a case of somebody's got to pay, basically, you know, and somebody's mad
and they want some, they, you know, they want some sort of head to roll. You know,
exactly,
so,
man.
Think,
so they're gonna make these, they're gonna let these guys, they're gonna isolate these guys, and I don't even think these guys should even be brought up. You know what I mean? With all this other stuff that goes on campus, you just neglect that, but you just want to isolate something that happened over a year
ago. Well, I mean,
like I said,
what, what is illegal? What is illegal about taping some girls naked at your own house? Like I said, it's shit that me and my, you know, me and Leo did. You know, we did it at the apartment with them. I mean, what, you know, what's illegal about that? You know, I don't get it. You know, it's something I don't, you know, what, to me, what is illegal about that? I don't understand that, you know, like I say, I, you know, that I don't know about, you know, I do know that they're very, you know, they're very, it's weird how they hold, you know, how they do, you know, how they have these student councils set up, but, you know, these student judicial councils or whatever they're called. But, you know, like I say, to me, if nothing illegal happened, you know, I don't know what their code of conduct at that school is, but to me, like I say, it wasn't at the school. You know, all this was an off-campus apartment, right?
Yep.
So, you know, like I said, I don't know. To me, like I say, it sounds like they also want to keep this going and keep it in the headlines too. You know,
yep.
It sounds like they want to keep stoking this fire. They don't want to let it die down. And, it is what it is. Like I said, they want this to last until something crazy happens. You know. And you know, and they know that if they get a couple, they know that if they get enough cats like Tony who are mad, and they want Jameis to get kicked out of school, they know that's probably eventually going to happen.
Yeah, if I was Winston, man, I'd transfer immediately, man. Go to FAMU or something like that, man.
Like what we were just now talking about earlier about the, you know, about a minor league. If this would be a perfect case for like Jameis Winston to go fuck you FSU, I'm going to go play for this league, you know, and I'll be in here, and then I'll be in the NFL next year.
That's just my thing. I think there's a conspiracy on campus, and I said that last week. I think there's a conspiracy on campus to try to get this dude. There's some people on campus, and I'm not saying the whole campus, but some people on campus who have administrative roles that are out to get Winston. You know,
mm-hmm.
that think that he raped this woman when there's so much evidence to indicate that he didn't do it. So, you know, it is what it is, man.
That's like saying if you go to Panama City and you're driving down the strip and you take some girl flashing, that you can get kicked out of school for that. And basically, you know.
I mean, if she was drinking underage, she told the police that. Why don't they bring her up for a hearing if that's the case?
Well, if that's the case, how many times did we catch Johnny Manziel drinking underage, you know?
Exactly. Was he brought up under – well, yeah, he was brought up for being in a fight or something like that. But, you know, it is, man.
But they wasn't going to kick his ass out of school. I know that much.
Exactly. Exactly.
So is this love fest over? Are you two finished stroking each other?
No, go back to telling us how. Go back to telling us how he's guilty and how you raped her.
Tell us how big God's real, Wiley.
Once the homophobic, homosexual stuff started, I figured I'd just get out of it for a little while. Are you guys finished?
Tell us about Benghazi.
Clausell, you want to wipe that semen off your clothes, or you want to keep it for evidence later on when you tell everybody you said no?
Yeah, let me know. Let me hear about Benghazi,
Jameis raped her. Trayvon attacked George Zimmerman. I know the way he's going.
Like I said, you might want to pull a Monica Lewinsky there, Clausell, and keep the dress.
Yeah.
Jordan Davis had a gun. I know the way things go in Florida. I'm telling you, dude. Tony is really a right wing conservative. I'm telling you, he's far right.
Wow.
If you listen to anything, the only thing left he talks about is Obama.
Oh wow, really?
Thank God this is
a sports show and not a political show. So right, next question.
We can move on, man. I'm good.
Hey, but, man, I wanted to,
I wanted to ask you, I was going to ask you before we got disrupted by Tony accusing that dude of rape.
You mean before you and him started having your man hug? Yeah.
Well, I mean, like I said, I'd rather do that than accuse it, you know, ruin a young man's life accusing him of rape. But, accusing him, saying that he's a rapist numerous times like you did. But, like I said earlier, you know, going back to what I was saying, I don't think you were on, Clausel. You know, we were talking about the, and it's actually, it's kind of related to this. I mean, you know, we were talking about I don't know if you've seen that meme that was going around on Facebook, Clausel, that was comparing the NFL draft to a slave auction. And, you know, me and Tony got into it. We were talking about different aspects of everything. I mean, okay, like I said, and, you know, ignoring the whole rape, you know, whether he did it or not, is this kind of like, you know, like how back in the day, you know, the black man gets accused of whistling at the white girl, and we automatically assume that he did it. You know
absolutely.
What I mean?
Oh, my God.
Y'all are crazy, dude.
I mean, honestly,
think about this, Tony. Okay, for what we know about date rape, we do know that it's very prevalent and it's strong. We know that, I think they said, what, 1 in 3 girls happen. Why is this going this far? I mean, you had Aaron Hernandez at Florida killing people, and they just now prosecute him for shit that he did. Seriously, no, I'm being
You have no proof Aaron Hernandez killed anyone in Florida.
He just got indicted for 2 murders that happened, what, back in 2010?
You have no proof that Aaron Hernandez did anything in Florida.
I have more proof of that because they indicted him and they haven't indicted Jameis Winston, so obviously I have more proof of that.
And they are still searching for evidence. The reason why they indicted him is because he was driving a truck that night, and the person that said the eyewitnesses said it was a truck that did it. That is the only reason. They don't have any other evidence other than that.
How do all these people end up getting shot around this? That's funny. So all these people end up getting shot around this dude, and you won't assume that he shot these people. But you,
I'm not assuming anything.
They got more evidence than that, Wiley.
I'm not assuming anything.
You don't indict people on just something like that. You got more evidence.
You can indict a bologna sandwich. You can indict anybody for anything.
But yet, they still haven't indicted Jameis Winston for the rape of that girl yet.
They never did indict him. There was two.
What does that
there
mean?
Was two investigations. There were two investigations. There was an investigation by the Tallahassee Police Department, and there was an investigation by the Florida State of Florida, and none of them could find any evidence on them.
That's because it happened in the privacy of a room. You cannot indict him. He said, she said.
What?
No one's going to. There's reasonable doubt in he said, she said. That's why you can't indict.
No, they talked to both of them, and they got their stories, and they realized her story didn't match up.
It doesn't matter. There is reasonable doubt in he said, she said. She said it happened. He said it didn't. Reasonable doubt.
Before you start telling me about Florida state law, he's guilty.
Yeah, and he had eyewitnesses that said that he didn't do it, including her friend that said that he didn't do it. So this is testified, you know, affidavits, okay? This is legal stuff. So if they're lying, they could go to jail for this. So why would they just lie to the police? You know, just to lie for them and risk themselves going to jail and getting kicked out of school? I mean, but you don't want to just – people just don't want to acknowledge that evidence, you know. And she put her pictures of them on her Facebook and Twitter after the event occurred. Why would you put a picture of your rapist on Facebook and Twitter after you claim he raped you? That doesn't make any sense. But it is what it is, man. People just – you know. And then the false description on the – on the police report, he's 5'11", but yet he's 6'4". Come on, man. Let me help you see it. Just like you said earlier, Cali Mike, you know, it's like you accuse this a black man of doing something, even though you have so much proof that he didn't do it, they just want to believe he did it anyway, just because of their racist views. You know what I mean? It is what it is, man. They just want to believe it anyway. You know, So,
are you finished?
No, I'm not done yet. No, I'm not done yet.
Okay.
So my thing is this. I'm not done yet. My thing is this. I feel like the rape allegation, he didn't do anything wrong. You can't, hey, you can't put that against him. If it was two investigations, State of Florida, Tallahassee Police Department, they said he didn't do anything, you cannot hold that against Jameis Winston. The New York Times article, they were putting all his business out there to try to say that the Tallahassee Police Department did a bad investigation when it really, in actuality, was trying to make Jameis Winston look bad. All right, that's
are you
the
finished?
Purpose of that article. No, I'm not done yet. That was the purpose of that article. So there's little traces of things to try to chastise this guy when he hasn't really done anything wrong except for make a mistake and go into Publix and not pay for his food. I don't.
Are you finished?
Quietly. No, I'm not done yet. Let me finish. You already had 100 hours to speak. Let me finish, please. That's another thing. So they're trying to portray this guy as a B-side player. They're trying to make this guy into this bad guy. He's not a bad guy. You know what I mean? I don't think he really did anything that much wrong, in my personal opinion.
Are you finished?
I'm done now, Wiley. I'm done now, Wiley. And I'm going to let you finish.
Good. Good, good, good. Because, you know, there's this thing. There are people today that truly believe that a husband cannot rape his wife. It is impossible for a husband to rape his wife because legally it says that your wife belongs to the husband in the Bible. And it says that's why she takes his name and so forth and so on. And they truly believe that the concept of a husband forcing his wife to have sex with him is not rape. Well, guess what? The state of Florida sees it differently. No means no. Even if it's your wife, even if it's your wife, you could have a wife. Now, again, I let you babble on about that craziness about crab legs. Let me finish. You can have a wife. You and your wife could have a fight. After that fight, you can have makeup sex. In the middle of that makeup sex, she can remember while she was mad at you to begin with before the makeup sex started and say, no, get off of me. And you can say, no, I'm not. And she can call the police and you are going to jail for rape. That is the law in the state of Florida, because no means no. And so, with that said, let me finish. With that said, it is very simple. It doesn't matter how the relationship started. It doesn't matter at all. And the bottom line is, the woman can go up and say, oh, I'm sorry. I don't want to press charges. And then all of a sudden, she ain't going to want her husband to look bad. She ain't going to want to be embarrassed in front of her community and her friends. So, of course, she ain't going to say nothing about it. And the next day, her and her husband going to be smiling and happy and everybody, because she ain't wanting to be embarrassed in front of her family and friends. You know, this little girl did have family and friends. So, yes, when it started, when she left that club, she was going to be with Jameis Winston, and it was a big thing for her girls. When she got in that room, something went wrong. She said no. But that doesn't mean that her friends had to find out what was going on. So they just thought she had just went and spent some time with Jameis Winston. So that's why she may have put up the pictures and stuff to keep up appearances until she got to the point of where she had to tell the truth to one of her friends and say, things didn't really go that well in that room because things got to a point of where I said no and it got out of hand. That is how something like that can easily happen. It can happen in a marriage and it can happen in a dating scene.
Are you finished?
I'm finished.
Okay, first of all,
I ain't never heard no rape victim act like that. No rape victim, it does not put pictures.
First of all, this chick,
rape doesn't have to mean you were abused.
Tony, you just said you were finished. Stop. You just said you were finished.
This chick lied
so many times. First of all, she said she told the police that she did not know Jameis Winston. She didn't know who she was.
Protection.
Tony, you just said let me finish. Stop. She lied to the police. This is after you already said that she decided she was going to tell people. So why do you tell somebody then still lie? That's number one question mark. Second of all, like I said, if you're being raped and somebody comes in the room taping you, why do you tell them to leave instead of going, help, stop, help me, get me out of here, I'm being raped? Question mark number three, that crazy-ass description that she gave of Jameis Winston, which she obviously knew who the man was. A 5'11 nobody who's really a 6'4 starting quarterback that she's well acquainted with. Number four, she didn't want to embarrass herself. She should have wiped her boyfriend semen out of her panties before she went over to Jameis Winston and before she turned him in to the police. When does it stop?
And see, you know what, Callie Mike? Everybody knows this. You know, the people that say he raped her, they know this information. That's what I'm trying to get here. That's what I'm trying to get us to see here. They know this information. But they still, even after that automation, they still want to convince themselves that he raped her. And why is that? Ask yourself
Like I said, I don't like to bring the racial factor into things, but people cannot deny that there's something forcing, like you said, there's some reason they won't let this go. There's some reason there's a reason that this keeps going, even though you have overwhelming evidence against this being true. There's some reason this is all still going. And, you know, like I say, this being the state of Florida and the climate that's been going on around there, I can't help but to think that it's racially motivated.
Exactly. In regards to the media, there is some racial component to this. It is. You know, they want to make this guy to be this evil, you know, thug.
You know, I mean, and Tony, you know, all that just because she said, we just now seen Brian Banks get let out of jail after 6 years over a broad saying that he raped her, and she lied.
And that was racial?
She was caught on tape lying.
And that was racial?
No, her word was crap. Because women lie. Everybody lies. Men lie. And she was caught on tape lying.
God.
So don't give me that she said, and her word is true. Okay?
But you're giving me that he said, she said, and his word is true.
So I'm supposed to believe your side, but you can't believe my side, right?
So
I just gave you, why do you have a side? What are you gaining out of this? I don't have a side in this. So I'm not gaining.
You do. You just said that he is telling the truth and she is lying. So that is your side.
No, I didn't.
Oh, my God. You just said all the evidence proves she was lying. That means you're taking his side.
I said that those are question marks. I did not say that anything. We have it on tape. Stop.
Okay, we need to rewind the tape because you just took his side.
I just said that there's question marks in her case. And I just brought them up.
Would somebody come on here that's been listening to this show and please tell Callie Mike that he just took the side of Jameis Winston?
Why do you have a side? What are you getting out of this? Why do you have a side?
Why do I have a side? Because there's right and wrong to everything, and if he did that to that girl, that is wrong, and I am going to be on the side of right.
That makes her the side of right.
Because if she says she said no and he continued, that's wrong. So I'm going to be on the side of right.
Girl that lied during a very controversial rape case. I told you people lie all the time.
Okay, and what does that mean? He could have been lying too. You don't think he could have been lying? Because, like I said, how do you believe Jameis Winston when he swears that he didn't steal them crab legs? How do you believe Jameis Winston when he swears he didn't have nothing to do with that videotape? You going to believe a proven liar over someone that you just think is lying, right?
I didn't say any of that. I said both guys lie.
And I'm telling you, Jameis Winston is a proven liar. He is not a suspected liar. He is a proven liar, and he is a proven thief.
I just showed you she's a proven liar, and she lied to the police.
He is a proven liar and a proven thief.
Agreed.
So why do you take his side over hers?
She's a proven liar, too, and she's a proven liar, too. So they're both liars, right? They're both liars, right?
She ain't. I don't see where anything has been proven that she lied.
She said he was 5'11" on the police report.
Good. Can we talk about something else?
It's been documented that she lied.
No. When the second she said his name, it wasn't a lie no more. When she was saying 5'11", she was not saying it was Jameis Winston. She was trying to protect him and herself. But when she finally came out and told the truth about what was happening and said his name, it was a whole different situation.
Why was she protected? Why was she filing charges? She was trying to protect him.
There is a reason why you do things like that. You know why you do things like that?
Tony, you're about to make me pull out the C word. Please stop.
Oh, my God.
You're about to make me do it. I love the way you two
are so shallow-minded, and everything is all or nothing with you. There's only one way or the other way, and there's no other alternatives for both of you. That is very closed-minded and shallow-minded of you both.
You are pulling so much stuff out of your butt. You just now said a girl is trying to protect the man she's accusing of rape.
Yes. You don't think people do that?
You just now said there's a reason.
Boyfriends do it. Hot wives do it. Girlfriends do it all the time. They do it all the time. They call 911 because their boyfriend hit them, and then the second that it's time to charge him with it, they want to drop the charges. They tell lies. They do it all the time.
You know what they also do, Tony? They also call 911 when they get mad at the guy and say that they raped them. Like that girl.
They do it all the time. You act like this is something that don't happen every single day. Boyfriend and girlfriends have fights. They call 911, and then after they call 911, they think over it, and they change their mind. They change the story. They take everything back. It happens every single day.
I just told you that one in three women is rape. This happens far too often.
But what I'm saying to you is you're saying how there is no way she could have been raped and then went into the police station and said something different. Bull! It happens every day. There are women that are raped. There are women that are molested. There are women that are abused every single day. And when they go in that damn police office, they say something other than the truth. It happens every day.
And there's also the women that go in there and lie every day.
Well, when they say something other than the truth, it is a lie. But the thing is, it happens every day, and you and Clausel are making it seem like, oh, my God, this woman did something that never happened. That would never happen. Bull, it happens every day.
So can we agree that they're both liars? Can we agree about that they're both liars?
No, I can't agree she's a liar. I don't know nothing about her. But I can agree that Jameis Winston is a liar. I know that for a fact. I know that for a fact. I know that for a guaranteed fact.
Did he just not say about 3 minutes ago that she lied?
Yep.
She lied for reasons to protect him. Didn't he just say that?
Yep. Yeah, he did. You just want to believe Benghazi, man. I know, man.
Man.
All right, we can talk about stuff. Okay. We can talk about
stuff. What does it take to stop? What does it take to stop Tony Wadley?
I'm bringing Matt on. I'm bringing Matt on, man. Hold on, real quick. Hey, Matt.
It takes Benghazi.
Oh. Who is this, Matt?
Tony, I believe you can run for governor of Florida. I will back you.
See, you're, like I said, you guys have this all or nothing mentality. It's got to be one or the other. You act like there can't be 50 million different reasons. It either has to be one way or the other way.
You've convinced me. I want you to be the next governor of Florida. I'll back you. Will you run?
Wow. Wow. Listen to you. That's amazing.
Or at least will you run for mayor of Tampa?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll back you because we need to use these forces for good instead of evil all the time.
Oh wow, that's cute.
Dude, I swear you can be in the White House in about in 2 years if you start now. Because if you can swing this like they swing this other stuff, you'll fit right in.
Cute. That's real cute. Real cute.
Hey, Matt, you on the phone? All right,
I'm here.
Yeah, we're going to talk about something else.
Thank you.
Is Matt on?
Yeah, I'm on. I didn't hear what the topic was, though.
Tony Wadley is going to be running for governor of Florida or mayor of Tampa, whichever one opens up first.
On the Republican card or the Democrat card?
Oh, wow.
Apparently both. He's going to combine both parties.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm running on the nigga card.
Yep. I was just about to say that.
I'll vote for him, man.
It's going to be a landslide.
That's my favorite card.
It's going to be a landslide.
That's my favorite
election.
Card.
Wait a minute, didn't they just have an episode of Boondocks where Uncle Ruckus was running for mayor?
All right, man, let's move on, man. We got to move on, yo.
All right. Oh, man.
I still want to get into college football, though. Like, who do you think is going to be, like, a surprise team this year?
Surprise team? I hate
Miami.
I don't know about Miami. They got quarterback issues. I was going to say UCLA. Well, UCLA really ain't going to be no surprise. I think UCLA is going to be really good. Their recruiting class that they had a couple of years ago is going to become sophomores and juniors, and those guys are pretty good. You know, they're going to have at least three former five-star dudes on their defensive line. So, you know, they got Brett Hundley back there at quarterback, and they got a really solid run game, and they lost Anthony Barr on defense. And lost a couple other pieces on defense, but I think UCLA is going to be really good.
I really think that the surprise teams are going to come from some of these teams that have transferred into these other conferences from the old conferences, and now the matchups for them are going to be different. So that they are going to either be much better because they went to these conferences, or they're going to be much worse because they went to these conferences. And I think the surprise, I mean, I can't give you an actual team. I'm just saying, you know how some of these teams from the Big East went certain places and, you know, changed this, that, the other. I think that's how the surprise team is going to work this year is, some of those teams that switched into the new conferences like Syracuse and Pittsburgh switched to the ACC. And I think that switch can make a real big difference in that conference. Do you understand what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
What do you guys think about, Tony, you mentioned school switching conferences. I wanted to ask Quinn last week. Is the concept, I know Appalachian State just did it, and, you know, there have been, you know, Troy State did it before. Do you think that there's a real concept of ever a HBCU jumping up into, you know, into a becoming a, what do they call it, football? Is it even football subdivision anymore now that we don't have that anymore?
They're in the football subdivision. HBCUs are in the football subdivisions.
Well, yeah, football bowl series or whatever. Yeah, because remember when we were at the time, there was a lot of talk about that happening when Fam had those good teams, but then that kind of died down. Do you guys think that that's possible anymore?
No, I really don't. I don't see an HBCU going into a major conference and making an impact immediately. It would take several years.
What if they like went to one of the small, you know, like Conference USA, or, you know, like how Troy State or like Appalachian State, this is gonna be their first year, you know, coming into a D1 school, you know, D1 division. I forget where they're at, but
even Appalachian State, you got to realize they were national champions in their division for years. But I think by them moving into a higher, tougher conference, it's going to take them a few years of recruiting and adjusting to that new conference before they can truly make an impact, I think.
Okay. Yeah, I just, you know, like I said, I just wonder, it's like, you figure, you know, like, why aren't athletes that aren't making it at these bigger schools because of grades and other reasons, why aren't they transferring to HBCUs? I mean, we had, who was it, Casey Printer, who transferred to FAM, and that was, like, the big deal, you know. But why aren't, you know, why, you know, everybody expected, you know, like, Adrian McPherson to come to FAM. I mean, why are we seeing more of that, did you think?
Wait, are we, why aren't, or why are?
Yeah, why aren't we?
I don't know. I mean, what's the guy from Georgia? The guy from Georgia went to HBCU, what's his name, Isaiah Crowell. He went to Alabama.
But obvious why they don't, because everybody wants to be in the spotlight, because the spotlight is what gets you to the game. It's what gets you to the pros. These smaller schools are in the shadows. They're not in the spotlight. You want to be in the spotlight. You want to be in those schools that has the spotlight on them. You don't want to be in the schools that are in the shadows. And that's what HBCUs, that's what all these smaller conferences are. You're in the shadow. So that the only way you get a glimmer of light is if you are a super-duper-ooper-duper star in that league, and then all of a sudden says, wait, look at him. And that's one out of 1,000 players that come through there in a 10-year period.
It's the scholarship allocation and the grade requirements. If you don't, those any 4-year school still requires requires a certain test to get into the school, whereas in JCAA schools, you know, the JUCO schools don't require that. You can just go to the JUCO, and the whole idea is to get an associate's degree, because once you have that 2-year degree, you can transfer anywhere, and it doesn't matter what grade point average you got during that. Unless you go to a private school. That's why they go to the NJCAA schools.
I'm talking about the junior colleges. I'm talking about the HBCUs in the smaller conference colleges.
Yeah, they're a four-year school.
I think what he's saying is, why are you seeing the kids go to the junior colleges even more than you're seeing them go to the HBCUs?
Yeah, because of the requirements and the money.
You can have a 1.5 GPA at a junior college and graduate.
To graduate from a junior college, you have to have a minimum of a 2.0.
But I mean, to get into one, you don't even have to have gone to high school to go to a junior college, don't
no.
you?
You can get a GED. You have to have a high school. You have to have a GED or equivalent.
Yeah.
To get in. Once you've done that, and the crazy thing is with the junior colleges, even if you don't have that, they'll actually, there's those gen ed classes that you can take, and sometimes you can get college credit towards your GED.
Yes. You can go to junior college and literally
be in college preparing to take your GED for college credit.
The funny thing is some smarter students actually in high school will go to community colleges to get high school credit for college courses. So,
yeah, there are a lot of kids nowadays that are graduating high school with an associate's degree.
Like I had a brother and sister. They were like 2 years apart. She was 17. Her brother was like, I think he was like 15. And they were both in my college level Spanish class. It was weird.
I know personally a young lady who was my son was in 10th grade. She was in 8th grade. She started doing the Florida online school. By the time he was in 11th grade, she was in 11th grade, and she graduated the day he started 12th grade. Because she was able to go to school and do all of her credits and everything, so that by the time he graduated from high school in a regular going to school every day, she had already gotten her associate's degree, and she was 2 years behind him when he was in the 10th grade.
Yeah, they at my school, they had a program called the International Baccalaureate Program, where you could go through it and come out as a sophomore in college. But, you know, you start. I'm looking at college coaches, and not necessarily just in football, but in a college, Tom Izzo at Michigan State was saying that, you know, as opposed to continue being a college coach, he would either, you know, retire or go to the NBA because of the way the recruiting is going. You know, it's too hard to get recruits at certain schools. Even a school like Michigan State, you know, where you get a good coach, you know, you give a coach like Tom Izzo a team, he's going to make it to the Sweet 16. You know, so it's like, you know, it seems like the talent is starting to condense more, you know what I mean? And I'm wondering, you know, in the case of college football, you know, like I say, can you know, is there room, you know, basically is there room to compete for everybody? You know what I'm saying? You know, I mean, like right now we're kind of getting our powerhouses. You know, you got Alabama and, you know, these couple other schools that are getting all the top recruiting classes, and they're still, you know, and they're winning the national championships too.
Well, another thing with that, Mike, like, for example, you were talking basketball and Izzo. It's about the way that they recruit. Like, for example, and I'm not saying Kentucky does this. I'm just using them as an example. Kentucky seems to, for the last 4 or 5 years, they are getting all of the freshmen. All of the good freshman basketball players are getting every one of them. And why? Is because I think they're going to these freshmen, and they're not even recruiting them for college. They're literally recruiting them for the NBA. You can come here, do a year with us, and go straight to the draft. Whereas other people are recruiting them for their college. Come play with us. Come play with Michigan State. Come play with Michigan. Come play with this, that, the other. And these kids are not even trying to see being in college. They want to go straight to the league, and if you recruit them to go to the league, they're more likely to come to your team than if you recruit them to go to your school.
Well, like I said, I kind of see that in basketball, you know, but football, where you have to wait 3 years, it just seems like there's a lot more uncertainty, you know. Like I said, I don't know. I mean,
yeah.
I think, you know, for some reason, I'm thinking, you know, I don't know, like I said, I don't know what all goes behind the scenes of football. You know, we're seeing a lot of stuff recently. You know, Pat White came out and said that Alabama offered him a Corvette, and, you know, he was only a 3-star recruit coming out of high school, you know. So, I mean,
really?
I'm just thinking, what can these smaller programs do, you know, to make themselves more appealing, do you think?
Nothing.
One thing I know the bigger schools will do with guys that can't make the grade, again, they'll stick them in an NJCAA school that's nearby the school so they can watch on them. I know Nebraska, Iowa, Iowa State, Minnesota, they did that because I remember when I played JUCO, I mean, we had a lot of guys that we compete against where they were legit Division I guys. They were better than a lot of guys that were in Division I for your school.
Oh, yeah, y'all got that.
They didn't make the grade.
Where's that? There's that one JC out, like, I think it's in Kansas or some Coffeyville. They produce, like, tons of D1 talent, like, every year. I think it's, like, Coffeyville or something like that, or Coveville or something like that. But they produce tons of D1 talent like that, and they seem like a school like that.
Yeah, it's in Council Bluffs. There's one.
Well, I mean, it makes sense, though. It makes sense. You got. Again, I'm as an academic person, it really upsets me to discuss the sports side of academics, but they have literally turned these junior colleges into stepping stones for ignorant football stars. And just to bypass the SAT, just to bypass the ACT, just to bypass the college entrance exams, to bypass all of that, they are using these junior colleges to bypass the academic steps to get into college. And that, to me, is a travesty. A travesty. I don't give a damn how good they are.
Well, you know, like I was saying, I think that, you know, maybe, you know, like we were talking about, a developmental league. I think maybe if they came up with a good developmental league, you could bypass that. I mean, it's like me, you were talking earlier. 80% of these dudes are going bankrupt once they get 5 years out of the NFL. So they're not rocket scientists. So we can kind of the whole student athlete there.
You know, I want to bring this up. I was thinking that same thing. I was talking to Akeem Spence, a Buccaneer. He was drafted last year. The guy has a house. He has Bentley. He has, like, 3 cars. And he's talking about going into business, and he was asking for some business advice. And I was kind of like, you know, look at, you know, I just kind of was telling him a breakdown of what he should look for if he's going to go into business, the kind of research and stuff he should do, the people he should appoint to then do research after he does. It was kind of like pretty overwhelming what I gave him. So I don't think he's going to go into business doing that anymore, but I think it's phenomenal. I mean, he was a third or fourth round draft pick. I mean, I'm just looking at what he's spent his money on so far, and I don't know what kind of investments he's made, but you know, I can't help feeling like they're not wise investments. And it's not like his play on the field has been anything outstanding. The guy can bench press a damn tank, but he can't push a offensive lineman out of the way to get to the quarterback or a running back. So
he came from UCLA, didn't he?
I'm not sure off the top of my head.
Why is a third round draft pick buying a Bentley?
Don't know, but he got one.
Because it goes to the head. It goes the fame and the fortune goes to the head. They ain't never had it, and now that they think they got it, they are gonna go all out with it.
I mean, what's the scale for a third year? What was the scale for a third round pick? What is it, like $300,000?
$450,000 is like the minimum plus signing bonus. I mean, he could be making maybe a million.
Maybe
$100,000. It just depends. Jeez. No, it's like $450,000 a year.
But I'm saying, you know, after your taxes and all that other crap, I mean, he's gonna come out with maybe.
Oh yeah, yeah, you got your agent and everything to pay too. So,
probably buying your house, you know, cousins, baby mamas, you know. Hair hats, you know, you come out with yourself.
Bought your mom a house, bought your mom a car, your Bentley. It's probably a lease. You know, I don't know.
That's
again,
ridiculous.
But come on, guys, let's stop acting like that's not society. You can go into projects right now. These people are living on welfare and food stamps, and you can see BMWs, Lexuses, Toyotas on chrome. You can see stereo systems. Come on, it ain't got shit to do with the fact that they really shouldn't be able to do it or that they really can't afford it. They are trying to make themselves seen, and they are trying to live up to a certain perception, and they are going to spend whatever they got to spend to live that lifestyle and live up to that perception. And his Jaguars and everything else is just him saying, I'm an NFL football player, and this is how I roll.
That is a highly conservative point of view.
Exactly.
Hey, you call it what you want. It's the truth.
You realize that is like a dead on Republican argument you just gave. You understand that, right?
Look, you call it what you want. It's the truth. Tell me what project you're going to go in America and not see what I just said.
I don't see that many people in projects driving around no damn BMW, to tell you the truth. I see people,
to the projects in Tampa, Clausell, because I guarantee you go down there and you will definitely find at least one person roll through there in a BMW.
Oh, you say at least one person. You said at least one person. I thought you meant like
exactly,
a lot of
but like no, I didn't say everybody. I said the people in there driving BMWs, Lexuses, and all kinds of things, and they're living in the projects. I didn't say everybody.
I mean, how do we know that where they got that? I mean, to buy a certain kind of car, you have to have credit. They're not going to give you credit off of no food stamps.
To live in the project, you have to make a certain list. Amount of money. So how do we know where that money's coming from? And you don't have to have credit to buy a car if you are paying for it with cash.
Who in the project can buy a car cash?
Drug dealers. Why are you acting like you're stupid to this, Michael? Come on.
Because you're giving the Republican argument, dude. It is so funny.
No, you are really acting like you are not a fucking black man that's been raised around black people that do dumb shit like this. This happens every day in every project in America.
Drug dealers go and take that
drug money and they buy them brand new cars and they're driving around, living in the projects, driving a BMW. You going to tell me that don't happen?
Those are drug dealers, though, Tony. Those aren't average people.
Okay, where do they live? Where do those drug dealers live? They're living with their baby mamas in the projects for free.
Man, Mr. Bush, okay, you're right. I agree.
Oh, you call me what you want. Tell me I'm telling a lie.
No, I agree, but you have to understand that is not a liberal argument. That is a highly conservative argument.
I don't care whether it's liberal or not. It's the truth.
Okay.
You tell me that those drug dealers are not living in the projects free of charge off the government because they're living with their baby mama, shouldn't be living there. They're making that money from them drug deals, and then they're taking cash down to the BMW place, and they're buying the BMWs, they're buying the Lexuses, they're buying the Chevys and putting them on rims. They're doing all of this stuff. It's free of charge because it's tax-free, and they are doing it legally, but that doesn't mean you won't drive around every project in America and two or three BMWs or Lexuses sitting out front of a damn project apartment. Don't tell me you don't see it.
You can't use that minuscule amount as the mindset of an entire people, can we?
Exactly.
It's a mentality.
That's what I'm saying. We can't use that as a mentality of all people, can we?
We can use that as the mentality of a lot of poor black people in America.
But those are drug dealers.
There are a lot of poor black people in America that have $30,000 cars and live in the projects. Tell me there's not.
I mean, are you talking about a housing project as in public?
I'm talking about government housing. There are a lot of poor on welfare, on food stamps, black people and white people that are driving brand new cars, $30,000 and $40,000 trucks, and they are living off the government.
I got to say that.
Don't tell me that is not happening.
I worked social work 2 years out of college, and I didn't see, and I worked in two different programs, and I didn't see anybody driving $30,000 cars.
Oh, my God. Do you not know what the average car costs right now? If you go out right now and bought a brand new Chevy Lumina, that's a $30,000 car. It ain't got to be a BMW. The average car is almost $30,000 now. But why in the world does a person living in the projects need a brand new car? What you need is a house. You don't need a brand new car.
But Tony, you realize that you said Lexus and BMW? I didn't say that. You said it.
What I said was a $30,000 car. You act like a $30,000 car is some magnificent car nowadays. The average car costs $30,000 nowadays.
Tony, you said, okay,
let's not argue. Can we just keep moving? I don't want to start getting into your semantics. Please, keep moving.
Oh, what is going on? Oh, my
Wiley's on a roll today.
You're about to get into this whole cost of cars and BMWs. Let's not get into that. Can we keep the conversation moving forward instead of you keep going backwards?
I can't wait to go back and listen to this show. This is going to be comedy. I'm going to tell this to somebody. My goodness. You need to go.
I wanted to ask, I just saw something on ESPN where players are about to sue the NFL because they are saying that the NFL purposely gave them drugs that turned out to be bad for them when they played in the NFL.
Yeah, I saw.
Have you seen that article?
Yeah, I saw about that too. What do you think about that, Tony?
That says something to me. And you know why that says something to me? Because we make this big deal about steroids, but steroids ain't never been an issue in the NFL. Why? Because every one of them people are probably using it at some time in their career. Somebody has used steroids. You ain't never heard of it being a problem. But all of a sudden, in baseball, it's an issue. This happens all the time. Drugs are given to athletes all the time. All the time. And it's easy for those older players from the 1960s to swear up and down, well, I never took a steroid. Okay, you may have never taken a steroid, but whatever the drug was of that day that was supposed to give you strength and give you energy and make you feel good, you did it. And don't say you didn't.
Mm. Okay. I don't know, man. I saw that article, and to me, it was, I kind of think, you know, like I said, you know, I listened to Colin Cowherd talk about it earlier today, too, and I kind of go along the same lines with him. When you play certain sports, and when you do certain things in life in general, there's certain things that come along with that. You know, I mean, like I say, you know, to me, basically, this is like the old, you know, what is it, North Dallas 40, you know, where they're shooting the cortisone in the guy's knees and all that. I mean, those dudes knew what the hell, you know, they knew what that was, you know. So to me, you know, in that lawsuit, that lawsuit goes from, I think it was 1964 to 2004 or something like that. So it's covering 40 years.
Right.
You know, to me, you know, to me, I kind of call BS on that. You know, I don't. I definitely can't co-sign that in any kind of way or fashion. I mean, I think, you know, like I said, the stuff with the head injuries and the CTEs. You know, I'm all with that. But, you know, this thing, you know, it seems kind of fishy to me. You know, it seems like one of those things, like, okay, you know, we kind of realize that we're, you know, we've been getting the short end of the stick on this money, so we need to try to get some more money out of the NFL, basically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which to me, like I say,
I don't have any problem with, but to me, go about it the right way. Like I say, to me, if you want to get your power, do it in the right way. But I mean, to me, you know, this is kind of, you know, it's kind of blah. You know, I don't know how I feel about this.
I'm gonna be honest with you. You know what I think it is, and I think it's jealousy. I'm just being honest. I think it's jealousy. I think these older players was not making these millions and millions and billions of dollars like these young new players are making, and they have all these injuries, and they don't ran out of all their savings, and they're sitting there and they're mad as hell that you got these people getting $40 million contracts straight out of college, and they didn't make $40 million in 20 years as a player.
Exactly. Yeah, and, you know,
and I think it's jealousy, and I think they're suing the NFL because they feel like they deserve what these young people are getting, and they just don't understand they were in the NFL in a different time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, pretty much, you know, it's like, to me, it kind of was the same thing when they did the salary structure for the rookies, you know.
Right.
To me, it's like, you know, like you said, you know, it's just, you know, you're playing in the NFL at a different time. That's like me, you know, that's like my grand, you know, me and my grandfather work at the same job, and he worked there, you know, he worked there 60 years ago, and he sued the job because I'm making more money, you know, now doing the same thing that he did then, you know. It's a different time. I feel for the guys because, you know, they were getting the short end of the stick. But to me, it's like, make things better going forward. You know, if you see, you know, it's kind of like we were talking about with these guys going broke. It's like, if you see that there's a problem, let's change it. You know what I mean? Change, you know, go. You know, you might have to go on strike again or do something, but change the, you know what I mean? Try to change things to make it better going forward. You know, it's like, you know, you can't really, you know, look in the past that much, you know, but you know what I mean? But it's like, let's change it to go forward. Maybe the players do need to have, you know, some, you know, a different pay structure or some sort of, you know, revenue sharing or something like that, you know, but like I said, I don't know. I just, you know, in these type of losses.
But at the same time, these guys got to understand that $100,000 in the 70s was $1 million today.
Yeah.
I mean, at the time that you were in the league and you were making that $70,000-$80,000 a year.
Well, you know, I mean, it's the same. You know, it's like I said, it's just, you know, these players. That's what I'm saying. These players just didn't start going broke. You know, you had a lot of those old schooler broke. You know, Paul Warning. A lot of these guys declared for bankruptcy. You know, so, you know, that's what I'm saying. It's not like it's a problem that just started now or, you know, that's what I'm saying. I don't even think it has something to do that's associated with, you know, your mindset or your lifestyle. I think it's the way that the system of the NFL is set up. You know, and I think maybe now that a lot of these players are older and they're broke as opposed to being younger and broke now, but, you know, a lot of these guys now that, you know, they're crippled or whatever, you know, because they were, you know, putting all that cortisone and crap in their knees. I know that they're bitter right now.
Exactly.
But like I said, to me, it's like, you know, you possibly got to try to change things going forward. I don't see, you know, the sense, you know, like I said, I actually don't even know how much, you know how much the lawsuit is for?
No, I didn't see the specific, because it's supposed to be a class action suit, so I don't know how much they're actually going to try to settle for, but you know they're not really.
What'd you say? You got cut off.
Hello.
Yeah, you got cut.
Hello.
You cut off. Okay, I think
Hello
Cody got
that.
Cut. But like I said, I haven't heard the amount that was coming from that loss or whatever. I don't know. Like I said, I really don't. You know, like I said, I don't know if I'm sitting supportive. What do you think, Claudio? Have you heard anything about that?
Not particularly.
Yeah. Like,
hold on. Whiteley's still on. Whiteley.
Is he
he's
muted?
Still on. No, he's not muted.
I don't know. I'm not hearing them. But, you know, like I said, you know, to me, like I said, to me, it just sounds like, it sounds like a desperate act, you know. And, like I say, you know, when you get these desperate acts, you know, in sports, to me, it just, like I say, once again, it shows the inequality that these players have with these owners. I mean, yes, we can talk about, you know, how we work in our regular jobs and how we're all kind of in the same situation. But this, you know, let's face it, we're not, they're not, no football players, athletes, they're not in regular jobs, you know.
No.
And everybody, everybody can't do what they do. There's a reason that people pay to go see them do what they do. So, you know, to me, it's just about them taking control of, you know, basically taking control of what they do. You know, it's like,
hello?
You know, look at Donald Sterling right now. That man said he is not going to pay that money, and he doesn't care what they do. As a matter of fact, I believe he's suing the NBA now, you know?
Yeah.
He can sue all he wants. He ain't going to win.
You never know.
Yeah, he's not going to pay that money.
No, he can. He is not going to win. We had this argument a couple of weeks ago. He signed an arbitrary contract. That means it doesn't matter what the legal life outside of the NBA says. He agreed to the inside the NBA rules. And he is not going to win any lawsuit outside of those rules. He's not going to win.
I told you, we already went over that, and I proved you wrong.
You did not prove me wrong. He is not going to win. There is no, the contract he signed with the NBA is sacrosanct for law in America. He is not going to be able to get out of that contract, period.
Okay, we'll see. Well, first of all, the contract represents a trust. It doesn't represent him as a person. It's a trust that he happens to run, or he's the head of, or something like that. But there's, like I said, there's different, you know, like I said, from the way that it was explained to me, there's tons of ways that he can get out of this legally, you know.
And keep the team, it ain't. There is no way he can get out of this legally and keep the team. No way. Period.
So you want to guarantee by the beginning of the next NBA season, Donald Sterling will not still be the owner of the Los Angeles?
I guarantee it. I guarantee it.
I don't guarantee that. Because
me neither.
Because, you know, because the Constitution, you know, he can put that Constitution.
No, the Constitution does not preempt the fact that he is already in a legal contract. The legal contract is his legal authority, and they can do whatever that legal contract tells them they can do, and there is no judge, including a Supreme Court justice, that can overrule that contract. None.
Yes, there is.
No, there is not. If he signed that legal contract, even a Supreme Court justice cannot overrule it. As long as it is constitutional, they cannot overrule it.
Tony, we've already said that, yes, they go through arbitration, but if the arbitration doesn't work, they file a lawsuit. It's happened before, and it's gotten overruled before.
I'm not going to argue this. I really am not. I know what I'm talking about. So you say what you want. I'm telling you, he will not win that lawsuit, and he will not be the owner of this team come next year. I guarantee it. Next year, when the NBA starts, if he's the owner, I want everyone on this show to tell me, Tony, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. And if he's not, I want you to say, Tony, I'm sorry, you know every goddamn thing.
I tell you that all the time anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
Because the bottom line is, you guys talk too much. You're like women. You talk on your emotions and how you feel and what makes you feel bad. And you don't base your things on reality. Reality and common sense needs to preempt your female urges of emotion.
Weird emotional ones? Wow.
Nobody on this show talks with more emotion than you. You are the most emotional dude I've ever met in my life.
No, you guys talk like you're a bunch of cheerleaders.
Oh,
you get on a team and you ride that team like it's a horse. And it doesn't matter what the law says or what's right or wrong. You're going to fight for your team no matter what. Just like you and Jameis Winston there, Clauzel. Jameis Winston is wrong. I don't care how much you want to legally say this and split hairs and go into your semantics. He is wrong, and wrong is wrong no matter how much you can unexplain it. Wrong is wrong.
He's wrong about what?
Hey, you're the same man that said the NCAA was not wrong in giving Donald Sterling a Lifetime Achievement Award.
They were not wrong for giving him a Lifetime Achievement Award. They were not wrong for giving him a Lifetime Achievement Award. That man has given a whole lot of money to organizations that have helped poor minorities. And because he has, that is something that you would reward him or award him for. It doesn't matter whether he was a racist or not. He did give that money, and it did help poor black people. So if the NAACP gave him an award for helping young black people, he deserved it. And he's been doing it for 20, 30 years, and that is a Lifetime Achievement Award.
And, you know, and the thing is, hold on, I'm going to get back on Winston real quick. They just released the police call from when he was trying to take the soda from Burger King.
Who cares about the soda from Burger King? Come on.
They just released that. But I was just saying they released it. That just, you see what I'm saying? They're trying to build this narrative, Callie Mike.
Why haven't they released the 911 call from the rape yet? That's what I'm wondering, or at least the transcripts.
Because it is a litigation that is still in effect, gentlemen. You guys keep talking about this like it's over with. Her parents have made it very clear. This is not over.
They refuse to indict, so it's not over. They refuse to indict.
Okay, but there is still a side of this called the civil side of it, and even if they don't criminally prosecute him, there is a civil suit that can still go through. So because there is still another side to this, this is not over, gentlemen. And I promise you, if he is found negligent, he will be paying that NFL contract money to that white girl.
But a civil suit is between two people, not between the state and the person.
Exactly. But what I'm saying to you is her parents have already said that they are not dropping this and they are going forward with it. But you know what they're doing? They're just prolonging it and prolonging it until they say, and this team takes Jameis Winston, and then he going to get that NFL contract, and I guarantee you a month later you going to hear The civil suit for Jameis Winston, this, because now he got that money and they about to get it. And the thing about a civil suit versus a criminal suit is reasonable doubt. You don't have to have reasonable doubt. You only have to have the preponderance of the evidence. And the preponderance of the evidence showed his semen on her clothes, and she said no. That is the preponderance of the evidence, and he is going to pay out his ass. Now, tell me I don't know what I'm talking about. Why do you think O.J. Simpson ended up losing his civil suit? Even though he won the criminal case, he lost the civil suit. Why? Because it ain't about reasonable doubt. It's about the preponderance of the evidence.
Isn't there a preponderance of evidence that says that she's lying? There's a preponderance.
The preponderance of the evidence says that his semen was there. That's all they need.
The preponderance of evidence says that she lied on the police report.
The preponderance of the evidence says his semen was there. That's all she needs.
The preponderance of the evidence says that she lied on the police report. That's
the preponderance of evidence says his semen was there. That's all that she needs.
Well, that's all that he needs is the preponderance of evidence that says that she lied on the police report.
No, see, you are looking for reasonable doubt. Reasonable doubt does not matter in a civil case. Reasonable doubt does not matter in a civil case. The preponderance of the evidence will take that forensic evidence that says it's his semen on her clothes, which means they were in a sexual act, and she says she said no, and that is a preponderance of evidence, and he will lose.
Yeah, Wiley, yeah.
Okay, I'm telling you, ask O.J. Simpson.
And O.J. never paid, and if I was Jameson, I wouldn't pay that back either.
Okay, but the bottom line is, ask O.J. Simpson. He won in the criminal case. They, beyond a reasonable doubt, they could not prove he killed that girl. But the family refused to give up. They went to a civil case, and without the reasonable doubt, the preponderance of the evidence said he was guilty.
Yeah.
And I promise you, as long as they got that semen on his clothes or her clothes of him, that is the preponderance of the evidence to say he is guilty.
You got something to say, Kelly, Mike? I'm not going to argue anymore.
Didn't Kobe Bryant, wasn't his found in a girl's underwear, and it was proven that he didn't do it?
Oh, no. Kobe settled.
Settled for the civil case. The other case was thrown out. The criminal case was thrown out. You can't settle a criminal in that case.
No, but Kobe settled the preponderance of the evidence case. He settled the civil case.
The criminal case was thrown out.
Okay, we are not talking criminal right now, gentlemen. We are talking civil. And he settled the civil case because he knew he was going to lose. The preponderance of the evidence is different from reasonable doubt. He won in a criminal case because reasonable doubt is not easy to establish, but a lot easier to establish than preponderance of the evidence. It's very simple. You said you did have sex with her. There's proof that the sex was here. She said no. You said she said yes. The preponderance of the evidence says something happened and she wasn't happy. You lose.
I mean, like I said, I don't know all the aspects of how they can do this civil trial. I don't know if they can wait until, you know, I don't know if they can attack his future earnings. I don't know. I have to look more into that.
It's about when they file a suit.
Well, I mean that, you know, like I say,
statute of limitations.
I don't know about that though. That's like if I steal something from you right now, and let's say I steal $400 from you right now, you can wait 10 years if I win the lottery and then sue me for $2 million.
No, what you can do is you can keep it in the court system. You can keep going to hearings. You can keep getting it postponed. You can keep getting it put delayed. And then 10 years from now, when I hit the lotto, you can go. You can say he owes me $400 plus pain and suffering and interest on that $400. And the next thing you know, you owe me $1 million. So that $400 turned into $1 million because they're going to add on pain and suffering, they're going to add on court costs, they're going to add on lawyer's fees, add on all of those delays for 10 years, they're going to add on interest, they're going to add on all of that stuff, and then they're going to say, what is your net worth? You can afford it, $1 million to the person. And it started out, you stole $400 from me.
So she's banking the cash in, basically.
Exactly. And that's what's going to happen. You won't hear nothing about this from her parents. But what they'll do is, their lawyers are just going to keep delaying it and postponing it and delaying it.
Doesn't that let you know something about her motives if she's trying to cash
in? No. This is not her. Honestly, now, gentlemen, this is not her. This is her parents. And I'm going to be honest with you, I think this whole thing is her parents. I don't think it was her that had a problem to begin with. I think it was the cute little white girl that don't got caught fucking a nigga, and the parents had a fit, the boyfriend had a fit, and to get her way out of it, she had to come up with a story. And let me finish. Now, I am not saying that, listen to me, what I'm saying to you is that means she might be lying. But I'm saying I have seen this happen plenty of times where the girlfriend gets caught with another man and all of a sudden she screams rape. I'm not saying that's what happened here, but I've seen it happen. And what I do know about this case is the parents of this girl is the one who refused to let it go. Why? Because I really think that this girl is lying to her parents. And even if she's not lying to her parents are not going to take the humiliation of her entire family, friends, social groups, and everything else thinking that their sweet little daughter was messing around with that black man. So because that's not what they want everybody to see their sweet little daughter and their family by, they are going to stick to this suit until they can't stick to it anymore. And swear it was a rape because there's no way their sweet little daughter is going to ever have slept with a black man willingly. And I think it's her parents pushing this the whole time. I mean, even from day one, I think it was her parents that made her go to the jail cell. If you want to know the truth, I think it was her parents that made her go to the police. I think it was her parents that pushed her the entire time.
Okay, but then why were you arguing with us saying that he was a rapist 5 minutes ago, or 30 minutes ago?
What I am saying to you is you cannot just deny her claims to rape. Because if you do that, you are a sexist. So that until you can honestly, with 100% proof, prove that he did not do it, you cannot just blatantly write off her accusation. And that is what you guys are doing to protect Jameis Winston. And I think that is wrong. Do I think he did it? I don't know if he did it. But I am not going to just write off that she is telling a lie because Jameis Winston said she is. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, but you said he was a rapist, though.
The one conclusion.
If what she says is true, he is a rapist.
The one.
If she said no and he continued to do it in the state of Florida, that is rape.
Okay. The one conclusion that I can come from, and I want everybody to pay close attention to this, there is a lot of undiagnosed bipolarism in the African American community. I want everybody to go and seek mental services. Just, you know, just go talk to somebody. And just see, you know, maybe you might need some help. You know,
wow.
Clearly I'm going to have to move to Tampa so I can counsel my good friend Tony Wadley here.
Like I said, I have a personal opinion, have a legal opinion, I have a professional opinion, and they all may not agree.
Those are all
on the same issue.
That's also called.
Well, I have a legal opinion. I have a professional opinion. My professional opinion is her story is so inconsistent that I think that her story is not credible, and I don't think he raped her because she has so many inconsistencies in her story. I'm not talking about what Winston said. I'm talking about what she has done.
Right.
Inconsistencies in her stories that was made me my professional opinion to come to the conclusion I don't think she was raped.
Well, that's why I say my legal opinion says that you cannot just discount what that woman is saying because if a woman, you never is rape okay, and that's my legal opinion. But in my personal opinion, I think that her parents are behind this whole thing.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not discounting what she's saying.
I want to table this Jameis Winston thing because we're not going to get anywhere on this. What I want to bring up right now is, did you guys see that damn article that I put on Facebook about that woman that spent all of Lorenzo White's kids' money?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
What the hell, dude?
Greed.
Is that not most of the disgusting thing you've ever seen?
No, it really isn't. I see it all the time. Women do it all the time.
But that's $1 million in 10 months, and she wanted more. And she was what they said she was getting. She was getting $39,000 a month already.
Come on, Mike. You act like this don't happen. NFL stars get divorced. Superstars, actors get divorced. Tiger Woods' wife got, what, $100 million in their settlement? You think she's spending all that on the kids?
But this man was killed, though, Tony. So she had to know there's no more money coming from anywhere else. He was killed. He left his money for his kids.
Okay, but Tiger Woods made his $1 billion for his kids, too. He gave $100 million to his wife. Do you think she's spending that whole $100 million on her children?
But I'm saying Tiger Woods, his rest of his money is going to go to his kids. This man is dead. There's no more money. He left his money just
But we are talking about the woman. We are not talking about the rest of his money. We are talking about the woman and her ulterior motives. And what I'm saying is, several women are the same way. She took the money he gave her for her kids and spent it on herself. Tiger Woods' wife is doing the same thing. Most of them are doing the same thing. You give them that money and they spend it on themselves and call it spending for the children.
Well, what the hell are you fellas doing marrying these women then?
What are you going to marry, a computer?
I don't know. Shit. That is ridiculous, dude. $1 million in 10 months. She's spending $100,000 a month.
Okay, but at the same time, it happens in every relationship. You get divorced and you have to pay $500 a month child support. When you give that woman that $500, you don't know what she's spending it on. You really think she's taking all that money and spending it on them kids? No, she's buying makeup. She getting her hair did. She getting pedicures and manicures.
I see what you're saying with that, but what I'm saying, though, is this man was murdered. He's dead.
But it wasn't by her.
He left his last money to his kids.
Okay, but you want to factor in the fact that he's dead. She don't give a damn that he's dead. She gives a damn about is the money.
Tiger Woods' kids at least are going to get his money too after he passes. Well, they're going to get all the money.
But the thing is, like I said, you're pulling the woman card. You're trying to get us all emotionally attached to the fact that the man is dead. Nobody cares. Man is dead. We are talking about the woman and the money. The woman and the money, she don't care that he's dead. She's spending the money.
That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm saying is that there is no more money.
Okay, she don't care about that. There's the $1 million that's there. She don't care if there's another million coming. What she cares about is if when she looks in her bank account, there's $1 million, and she's spending it on herself. She don't care that he's dead and that another million ain't coming. She's living La Vida Loca right now.
This money was not hers, though. This was for the kids. Tiger Woods' wife's money was a divorce settlement. That's not child support.
For the kids.
No, that's a divorce.
No, it was for the kids because she gets custody of the kids.
Divorce settlement. That was a divorce settlement. It's her money.
Oh, God. It's a divorce when he's dead. Hello?
Oh, my goodness. Clauzel, will you please tell this dude that money that Tiger Woods' wife, that was a divorce settlement? That's not child support?
It was a divorce settlement. It was a divorce
What
settlement.
Does that have anything to do with the woman spending the damn money?
It's different money.
Would y'all stop talking about the dead man? We are talking about the money. Women are greedy, and when they get the money, they're going to spend it. It doesn't matter whether it came from a divorce settlement, from alimony, from a death sentence. They're greedy. They're going to spend it.
Tony, how'd you turn this into something insane?
You're confusing the stories.
You're wanting everybody to get all upset because this man died and the woman spent his children's money. Women spend the money that the men give them for their children every day. It ain't something new.
Folks, I'm telling you, this bipolarism that's going on in this black community, it has to stop. It has to. It's running.
So you telling me that this is what, Mike, what you're saying to me right now is what this woman did is really unusual. That she got money from a dead man and then took the money that was supposed to be for his kids and spent it on herself. You telling me that's unusual?
I'm telling you that I'm writing you some a prescription for some Seroquel and I want you to take it.
Answer the question. So are you saying to me what this woman did, she took that $1 million that the husband left for his kids?
Hello? Yes. I'm so glad his phone cut off. I can't believe it.
He's still on.
AT&T really knows what they're doing. Wow. That's amazing.
He's still on.
Anyway, like I was saying, dude, the fact that this chick took that money, I mean, like I said, yes, it's a disgusting fact. That doesn't have nothing to do with Tiger Woods' wife or Jordan's wife. Those were divorce settlements. This woman spent those kids' actual money. You know, that was it, you know, like I say, and there's no more money left coming. I just can't see the sense in that, you know. But, like I say, Tony turned that into a fiasco.
She
really
didn't
did.
Care. She didn't care about the husband or their seed. That's what Sotomayor told me, man. They could care less about you or your seed.
The thing is, I believe, weren't they actually questioning her about the murder, too, or something like that?
I don't even know, man. That happened so long ago, man. Didn't it happen, like, 3-4 years ago? I can't remember.
But, you know, I mean, that's, you know, like I said, to me, that's just, you know, like I said, I don't know. But anyways, did you got anything else you want to bring up? I want to wrap this up.
No. I think you guys are crazy. I think you guys are crazy.
I think you...
You guys wear your emotions on your sleeves way too much. You don't take the facts. You want to take the emotional side of this roller coaster, and I think you need some professional help.
I'm FedEx you some Seroquel right now. All right,
I'll say this, Wiley. Since you criticize us, man, let me say this, Wiley. I think that you're trying to convince yourself that that Winston raped that woman. I really do. I'm trying to convince yourself that you raped that woman.
No, no. Like I said, I have several different views of that. Several different. We were just talking about the legal side of it. I have a personal side and a professional side to that whole argument.
But from a legal perspective, you don't even factor in all the evidence. You don't want to factor in all the evidence. You just want to pinpoint certain parts of the evidence and come to your conclusion from there. You're not factoring the whole evidence. So,
well,
I can't agree. I can't respect your legal opinion because you're not factoring the whole evidence.
And I must agree with you that I can be wrong, but I have this thing where when in doubt, I am always going to err on the side of the person saying they were abused.
Wait a minute.
Unless you can prove it otherwise, I'm going to err on the side of the victim, not on the side of the perpetrator.
Okay, I'm not even talking about that, but did you just say that you could be wrong?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And like I said, I can be very wrong about this whole Jameis Winston thing, but legally, I am going to err on the side of a woman that said she was raped over erring on the side of a man who has been proven to be a liar.
Even though the woman's been proven to be a liar, too. Is that proved?
Yeah.
Well, like I said, I will err on her side before I will err on his side. Now, legally, that is my stance. Like I said, professionally, I think he should be, professionally as a college instructor, he should be kicked out of the University of Florida State because of his moral and ethical misconduct. And personally, I think she is on a witch hunt to get money and publicity, and I think that her parents are behind this whole thing. So that's my three stances on the Winston thing. I err on her side legally. I think professionally, he should get kicked out of college, and personally, I think her parents are behind the whole thing.
This is Tony Wiley.
Legally,
This is Tony Watley, who's a Florida Gator, who also had Aaron Hernandez go to his school, who killed people while he was in school. I just want to get that documented.
Wow.
Legally, she should be prosecuted for lying on a police report. That's the first thing.
Why isn't she being prosecuted?
As an academic, Florida State should be sued for trying to prosecute these two young men when they have all these other issues that are going on campus they don't choose to prosecute, but they want to prosecute these two guys. Here, personally, this is a racial situation here. The media is trying to blow this up.
Hold on, Tony.
The media is trying to blow this up. The media is trying to blow this up and try to portray this guy as something he's not.
Wow.
Why are they not prosecuting her for making a false statement?
Because you don't know that she gave that statement under oath. You can go in and volunteer a statement. Wait, let me finish. You asked a question. Let me finish.
You
asked me a question. Let me finish.
Wait.
You asked me a question. You asked me a question. Let me finish. It is not perjury. Hello. It is not perjury, and it is not illegal if you go in and you volunteer a statement instead of being placed under oath and give a statement. There is a thin line.
It's called making a false
statement. Are you up for 10 years, Wiley? Hold on. If you're an academic, are you up for 10 years?
Statement, Tony. That's illegal.
Are you up for tenure, Whiteley? Who recommended you to be tenure? I want to know, because this academic you're talking about right here, that you have no basis behind what you're saying. I want to know,
wow.
Academic, who's recommending you for tenure then? I want to know.
So are you telling me?
I want to know, who is doing this? Because the stuff that you're saying
Are you telling me that a person will go to jail for going in and making a false statement?
Yes. That's illegal. You
know, no.
So, you know,
if they are... Come on. I didn't say you couldn't. I said, are they going to go to jail for making a false statement?
Hold on. You know all these other laws, and you're the pocket Matlock. You're the pocket paralegal. But you didn't know that it's illegal to make a false police statement?
I didn't say it was. I said that you don't have to go to jail for making a. Plenty of people make false statements and don't go to jail every single day. It is not a guarantee that if you make a false statement, you're going to jail.
You just said it wasn't illegal, Tony. You just said that.
I said you're not going to always go to jail. There are people make false statements every single day when they go to a police. That don't mean that they go to jail.
Is it a fact that she made a false statement to the police, Whiteley? Is it a fact that she made a false statement to the police?
I don't keep up with. Listen, Quazelle, I don't keep up with the case. You know why? Because I really could care less.
But yeah, you want
to. I really could care less.
Wiley.
I really could care less. Crab legs means absolutely nothing to me.
Tony's a crazy
mofo,
man.
Wiley just wants to convince us.
Tony is a bad boy, man.
Answer the question. Is it a fact that she made a false statement to the police? Is it a fact?
I have no idea. I've not read her statement, and I have not heard her responses since.
But yet you know all this other stuff, though, right?
Tony sounds like Richard Nixon in front of the Watergate.
Oh, wow.
He's denying.
Like I said, all I'm saying to you is...
You want to play a bit, Whiteley?
What was the question? What was the question?
Is it a fact that she made a false statement to the police? Is it a fact?
I can neither confirm nor deny because I don't know the facts of the case.
Yes, you do. There's a statement. There's a police statement. It's written. Yes, you do.
Okay, but I haven't read it. I haven't read it.
Yeah, but yeah, you know all this stuff here, though, right? I guess.
I know that she said she was raped. Yeah, I do know that.
Yeah. But yeah, you don't want to factor in. So how could you make an academic point of view when you don't know everything? That doesn't make any sense. You would get kicked out of the university for doing something like that.
Listen, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
See, you've crossed the legal and the ethical. I made the academic statement as a college professor and as a taxpaying citizen in the state of Florida who is paying for his full scholarship at a public university. And ethically and morally, he has crossed several lines that he should be